The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Lift your hands and really honor him this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's be seated. Good morning, everyone. Like I said yesterday, we are going to have a partners meeting this morning. Amen. But I'm thinking I should preach, then we'll have that after that. Amen. And usually after this kind of partners call, and I'm saying this for ministry purposes, after this kind of partners meeting that we're going to have this morning, we ask you to give. But I'm not going to do that. Okay? The giving is going to be tomorrow. I'm saying this deliberately for a reason. Just to teach you something. The giving is going to be tomorrow. We're going to have a partners meeting, but we're going to be giving tomorrow. The reason is simple. I don't believe in asking people to give or calling for giving after you teach on giving. Are you following the point? We don't be talking about giving since yesterday. I've been saying I won't talk about that this morning. I don't think just after you teach on giving and people are so hyped up, you understand? You now say, come and give. People are just going to come out and are going to give emotionally. I get the point. And when they do that, some of them will even give what they never planned to give. Because they're in the euphoria of the message. I get the point. So in the whole excitement and euphoria of the message, they say, I'm giving 10 million. Do you understand? And sometimes when you now get to him, you now begin to, did they just me? How did I, you know? So I observed that growing up in ministry. So I decided I was not going to do that. I will not. That's why I noticed if I want to call for giving, I'll tell you, we're going to give for this. There's a difference that I finished teaching on giving, how giving can do this and do that. And then you're so excited. Imagine last night after teaching you guys, I called for giving. Some of you would have given your phone and your laptop. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just after giving it, you might get home and just wake up and be like, where is my phone? So because of that, what I do is, I'll teach you giving as regular Christian teaching. Do you understand? Then when it's time to give, I'll ask you to practice it. And so that you would have thought about it. So tomorrow I'm going to ask them to give. But after this teaching, I'm going to have a meeting with us, a partners meeting, a short one though. Amen. Where I'll just tell us the reality of things. And tomorrow, I may not have time to do all of that tomorrow. So tomorrow I'll be asking you to give in relation to whatever we're discussing today. Is that okay? Are you still here? One of the things you must try to protect in ministry in relation to money is your sincerity. But make sure that you maintain a heart that is pure. It's not as though I don't know that if we do it this other way that people will respond more. But I wouldn't want people to respond because they are excited or emotional. I get the point. There are things you don't do. For instance, this is an example of teaching now. For instance, if I pray now, there's a crippled guy here, and he stands up and begins to walk, and everybody is excited, shouting. That's the wrong time to call for giving. I get the point. Because people are going to be excited. If I ask them to bring their car, they'll bring it. So I don't believe in calling for giving after a miracle has happened. I agree what I'm saying now. after a miracle, maybe a big miracle, they'll say, how many of you want to give the Lord your best? Everybody's going to come to give the Lord their best because they're just excited. The challenge with that, apart from the fact that he makes people give what they never plan to give, the challenge with that is that it makes it look like they're paying for the miracle. I get the point. I've got to be very careful for anything that looks like you are making a merchandise of the gospel. I was very careful for that. So I try to avoid that as much as I can. So normally I should ask you to give today, but that will be tomorrow. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So, were you here yesterday? What have I been talking about? Why did you keep your voice? What have I been talking about? Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. And we began to discuss how that the word of God is a seed. So, we dealt with that thoroughly. And like I said earlier, that teaching, that part of this teaching we discussed God's word as seed, is the foundation for every other thing we're going to discuss. So if you didn't get that part, you've missed a lot. You have to go and get the teaching. If at this particular immersion, we've enjoyed so much utterance. Have you observed? Mighty utterance in the Holy Ghost. So teachings like this are ones that you have to visit again and again and stone them. And so we looked at the fact that God's word is seed. We saw it in the book of Luke. The Bible said, the seed is the word of God. So God's word is seed. Hallelujah. When you plant God's word, it will bear fruit. And I showed you how to do that. I showed you how to sow the word. One important statement I made and I kept repeating is that it is not the presence of seed that guarantees harvest. Remember that? It is the presence, it is sowing the seed that guarantees harvest. So a lot of people have not learned how to sow the word of God. So they receive God's word as seed, but they don't know how to sow it so that they can bring harvest. So you must master, you see now, how to sow God's word. Are you following me now? How to sow God's word so that they can bring the desired harvest. So if they were looking at money as seed, and we started correcting a lot of things about what people do with giving and all of that. Because, you know, the reason we sow seed, especially monetary seed, is not because God has a need. I get the point that we have to meet very quickly. So we must be very careful that we don't manipulate people. So yes, I showed in the Bible that God's word, money, generosity, giving can be seed. We saw that yesterday. However, we must know what it is not. For instance, I showed you yesterday that it is not, you know, an attempt to bribe God into accepting you. Where people just say, you know, no matter what you do, just bring your seed. So you see people that are even into crime and they feel that will appease God after they commit their crime is to bring their tithe or their seed. That's not seed sowing. And whatever pastor that is preaching that to you is deceiving you and manipulating you. Are you following what I'm saying? And I say something very important that you don't have to forget. I understand that in every religion, in every faith, as it were, that they talk about giving. Right? But we cannot base our knowledge of giving in our faith based on what they do in African traditional religion. Or based on what they do in Islam. Even if you go to Babalawo's house, you must bring something. That's not how we do it here. In this faith, you can come to God and get something without bringing a seed. I get the point. In this our faith, it is not your seed that guarantees what God can give you. It is not. And it's better and good you understand that. Before you know, you'll be practicing African traditional religion as Christianity. And that's what people are doing today. But I've heard some pastors argue, hey, even what God of Babalawo says, don't you bring cow? Now I'm asking you to bring small goats, you're complaining. Now you go become Babalawo. So it's very clear that you are. Are you still here now? Praise God. It's not an attempt to bribe God. It's not a Ponzi scheme. It's not giving to get. I get to the point where you say, oh, I need 10,000. And I already have 1,000. Let me just give God 1,000, then he will double it or multiply it for me, and then I get it back. And that's the lie that have been told to many people to deceive them. And then, you know, one of the things that kind of thing produces, it reduces faith in God. Because eventually you're going to do that and it won't always work. You know, one of the realities you must learn concerning giving today is that you might give big and suffer. At least for a season. Did you hear what I said now? Might just give like 10 million naira now. And expect that in 2 weeks' time. Because some pastors share those kind of testimonies. I do too. But must know the terms and conditions. And the fact that not all the giving that you've done happened like that exactly. I feel what I'm saying now.
Yes.
Which is one of the things I'm going to deal with today. Is what when we say we'll talk about seed and harvest. What is the harvest you can expect from your giving? We're going to go to that today very shortly. Because when people think of harvest in giving, the only harvest they think about is money. But that's not true. Money is not the only harvest that can come from giving. I get to the point. You can give and reap your harvest and it's not money. So I've heard people say things like, if you want orange, you plant orange. If you want mango, you plant mango. If you want money, you plant money. That's not true. The basis for receiving from God is faith. Somebody say faith. Shout it. So like I said, your giving is only and should be an expression of your faith in God as a provider. That's simply what it is. Now, if there's anything short of that, you're not going to receive nothing. So all this, if you want money, you bring money. If you want car, if you want a car, you sell car. So most of the people say, those, I normally ask them, how did you get your first car? Because before you got your first car, there was no car to sell. Are you following me now? How did you get the very first car that you drove? The Ferrari number one car. Because you didn't sell any car. You didn't have any car to sell. I get the point. So what some people now do is they sew tire as a sign of the car. Buy big tire. That's not how it works. God is not into some sort of Ponzi scheme. I get the point. Where if you want this, just bring this. You want this, just bring this. And until I see that thing you are bringing, I'm not going to give you anything. That's the God that they taught you. But that's not the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not how they're saying, if you want a car, I need something. Me, I need car. So bring car first and I will give you. Now, can God lead you to give a car and after that you get a car? Yes. Can you be praying for a car and God will ask you to go and give this other car to my servant? Yes. But that's not the general rule. That's why one of the points I made is that giving, seed sowing is simply based on instruction. It is based on instruction. It's a matter of obedience. This is, I said, it's what you do in love for the Lord, His minister, and His work, and His people. So you are giving because you love the Lord, because you love the work. And one point I made is that when you give because you love God, and you love His work, and you love His people, the first excitement that will come from that giving is when the person you are giving the thing to uses it. You know, if you give someone because you love the person, maybe give someone, give an example, a gown because you love the person. Maybe you're a man here, you give your girlfriend a gown. Say amen. One of the excitement that you have is if by the next Sunday, let me give an example. If you get a gown for your girl, brothers, praise God. Praise God. So you get a gown for your girl on 14th February. Say amen. But we have a special event on 14th February. No, not you, not you. Don't celebrate. Don't celebrate. It's only for couples. Yeah, so married couples. Thank you, Jesus. So are you married or are you a couple? And if you get a gown maybe on 14th of February for your girl, you guys are not married, you got a gown for her, and then the next Sunday, that for 3 months, you have never seen her wear it. How will you feel? One day you ask her, is it your size? Do you like the color? So you notice that the first excitement that comes from that giving is that the person you gave it to is using what you give the person. That's why when you give for love's sake, your first joy is not that you got anything back. Your first joy is that the what you gave it for worked. I gave for the car, they bought the car. I get to the point. I gave for the building. Oh, we finished it. That's the first joy. Because the motivation for the giving was love. But when we don't teach this is right, you think that the first thing that happens when you give is to get. No, the first thing is that we're going to look at that very shortly now. So love must be the motivation for your giving. Then I said again, you must give, like I said, today, in obedience to God. First of all, obedience to what is written in God's word. But then I also mentioned obedience to divine instructions. I'm going to tell you this clearly. Let your giving, especially when you want to give big sacrificial giving, all this kind of sacrificial giving, let it be tied to a prompting, a leading of God in your heart. Let it not be tied to copying someone else. I can see the point. Maybe somebody did it, say, he did it, me too, I can also do it. Now, if you do it like that, you're not going to have any results. Because I've told you something, what God rewards is not money. What God rewards is obedience to his word. So the reward of giving comes because you're obeying God. That's why there are some crazy stories people can tell about giving. And they're actually true, but they're not models. Are you following what I'm saying now? They're not models. They're not models. A family man tells you that the Lord, that one day they came to their house and they carried all the food. A man that has family, that has children, they gave out all the food in their house and all the money in their account. And in 24 hours, they had times 5. That's what a model to follow. Do you understand me? Because you give out all the food and all the money in your house. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, if it was just you as a single man, you don't have a problem. If you're a jenga, if it's you those children, and then you give it, say, relax, we'll finish. And they will cry. You've got to provide it. That's what a model. The only model to copy from that is the obedience of the person. That's why I was sharing with you guys the other time. I think it was at a retreat. This is not about giving now. The woman of God came to preach in this pastor's church. The great man of God, though, came to preach in his. So the woman came to preach in his church. I was telling the story of how she fasted for 3 days. You remember that? How she fasted for 3 days when she was about 8 or 9 months pregnant. She was talking about passion for the Lord. So she told the story. Church went wild. You know that kind of people like that kind of thing. What am I doing with my life, Lord? That kind of message. He said, immediately they were doing that. He himself, as a man of God, just wrote in his notes, don't invite her again. She has never come back to that church. Now she preached powerfully. And she didn't even lie. That's what happened. But that was a personal dealing. She should have preached it. You know what it means for people that are pregnant 3 months, 6 months, 9 months to start fasting for 3 days? And the problem is, she's a visiting minister. She will cause that trouble and go home. It's the pastor that is with the people. And then begins to go to hospital from time to time. Are you even sure to not affect the baby in your womb for 3 days? It's not just about the fact that I fasted. What will be the state of the baby when the baby comes out? I don't know. I'm just asking. So do pregnant women fast in this church? Yes. Say amen. The question is, what kind of fast? Huh? You see, where is the passion for the Lord? You know what it means to be pregnant? It means somebody else is eating inside your stomach. So if you are fasting, is the baby fasting? Then 1 full day, then 2 days, then 3 days. When I heard that, I said, well, it's just your husband that I blame. It's your husband that I blame. I will force food on you. Oh, you will eat. You will be sleeping and you find that there is rice in your mouth. He just wake up to write silver. It's not my wife or my baby, you wicked. Kill yourself, not my wife. You understand the point? But you should have shared that as a personal story. That's why in talking about giving, one must be careful. Someone says, I closed my account, all of that. That's something you do on this. I've closed my account, like I said, if I can count up to 10 times. That's the truth. All of them were based on instructions. And I can do it 20 times. Based on instructions. The first time God asked me to close my account, it wasn't a big deal. How much was there? It wasn't up to 10,000, so I closed it. But whether I close it or not, I don't know. It will not seem to be enough, so I just close it. I want to say, I closed my account. How much was in the account when you closed it? You have 2-5, say, close your account. The account was closed before you got there. That was not count. So because I have to get details of the story. That's what I'm saying. Now, am I preaching against giving? I'm preaching for giving, actually. Let God lead you. It's based on instruction. Elijah told that woman to go and bake cake for her. And she did it, the floor never finished. But that was an instruction from God's prophet, whom she believed heard from the Lord. Now, today we can liken that to an instruction from your spirit. I get the point. What you should not actually do is, out of fear, despise such instructions. When they say you should give, you say me, give what? No. If there are instructions that come like that, please obey them. Obey them. Before Isaac blessed Esau and Jacob, he asked them to go and get him venison. Do you know, we never read, by venison means go and prepare food for him. We never read that Abraham gave that instruction to Isaac. You get the point? When Jacob wanted to bless his children, he never asked for venison. So it was something peculiar and particular with Isaac. And for that situation. I get the point. And we can't make a doctrine out of that. And every time you want to bless your sons, you say, give me venison. Pastor venison. Every time. I follow what I'm saying now. We can't make a doctrine out of that. So it was something particular with that occasion. So must know what seems to anything. It's something we do in response to instructions. So you can be in a meeting and God says, take this and go and give to your pastor. Please go and do it. Yes. We can be doing the project and the Lord says, this is your land, sell it, give it to the church. You can't do it. But can I stand here and announce everybody that has land, sell it, except God leads me? Well, that's another thing. That's why it's not good to follow a pastor that you are not convinced that he has sincere motives and God speaks to him. I get the point. Make sure you believe that God speaks to you. And make sure God really speaks to him. So he will not deceive you. I've never done it here, but you know it can happen. Because I know the story of, read about Pastor Saya King Dayomi. That's the founder of Redeemed. Announcing to the church one day that all of them should go and close their account and bring the money. Do you remember that story? Yes. Of course, they didn't do it. Only one person did. That was Pastor Iya Deboye. Then he was just a brother in the church. He was the only one that closed his account. And when I heard that he was the only one that did it, I was like, he possibly would even be one of the richest people in the church because he was the only recruited person in that church. And yet he was one that obeyed it. And that speaks of his heart. And God used that thing, not because he needed the money, he used that thing to prepare the heart of that man. I get what I'm saying now. So when the instructions come and they are from the Lord, obey them. But make sure it is an instruction from the Lord. Make sure it's not because you are copying someone. Because when you copy someone and you do your giving, that's not any seed though. That's, God doesn't reward your money. He rewards your obedience. I feel I'm saying now. God rewards what? Your obedience. And I also say this day, you give, when you want to see, it should be done in faith and trust. You are having faith and you are trusting that God will supply much more. So why do we receive when we give? Because God responds to faith. When the giving is done in faith, God responds. Anything in faith of faith, God responds to it. How do we get born again? We got born again by putting our faith in Christ Jesus. So anything about faith, what response to it? So when your giving is in response to faith, when you are giving because you know that God is a provider, and when I know if I give this, I'm going to get it. He has the capacity to provide more. So I'm not afraid to give. That is faith talking. You know, all the ways to show that you're not in faith, all the ways to show that you're not in faith in the area of finance is that it is difficult for you to part with your money. Doesn't matter how much you're shouting, I believe that God is a provider. You really do. Then why can't you part with your money? So you give in faith. In faith. So God responds to faith. Your giving should simply be an expression of your faith in God's provision. So I know God is a provider. So I know that if I part with anything, He can give me better things. In all places this manifests, not exactly with giving, was when a certain king had paid another king to come and join him for battle. Paid him heavily. So the prophet of God came and said, well, let that king not join you for the battle. And he asked the prophet, okay, fine, I agree with you, but what will happen to the money I've paid him? And the prophet said, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. So the proof that that man believes in God's provision is that he will part with that money. I get what I'm saying. If he says, no, may I have sent money for it, so it must be done. He's actually claiming and showing that he doesn't believe that God is a provider. So the proof that he believes in God's provision is that it will not be hard for him to just part with the money and say, okay, it's fine. And of course he did. Even though what he spent in that case was very expensive. Just like you wanted to invite somebody to help you. I've had to deal with such cases. You get an artisan to work for you, and the person messes things up. There are places where we arrest you. But as long as God will tell you to leave the money. And so I ask him, leave the money, so that we're going to do. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. If it is difficult for you to part with that kind of money, when God has said leave it, it shows you don't believe him as a provider. It's not following me this morning at all. So being able to part with that money is showing that, well, I believe that you can provide more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we're looking at this yesterday. So have faith in God. Let us give you a better expression of faith in God and in his provision. Which is why we always teach that when you give, you should release your faith. I showed you, for instance, the relationship between giving and receiving. Well, I wasn't get to that today. Let's get into today. So what kind of harvest should I expect when I give? Are you here now? Are you here? Are you hungry? You should be. You shouldn't be. It's after 10. Would you have eaten by this time in your house? Wow. I'm challenged to take my feeding more seriously. Like by this time you would have eaten. Like what? It's not happening. So how do you become productive in the day when you eat by this time of the morning? Because the food is the productivity. But I think we just define a way. If I eat by this time of the morning and go for lectures, forget it too. I'm not going to understand anything. Anything. Just sleep for the Lord. So it doesn't work for me that way. So the earliest meal you can see me have on the days I'm resting is like 12 or 1. Because that's the second food. Well, that's the earliest. Days I'm resting, for real. And there are many people like that too. I know some of you are like that. It's just that the days you now say you are fasting. You that used to eat by 1 and I told you, then you now say you are fasting by 10 o'clock. It's like there's this special hunger packaged for you. Unless you wake up by 6:45. You're so hungry. You know, it tells you that fasting is spiritual warfare. And you've got to win. You know, but this thing I'm telling you is one of the things that made me know that fasting is powerful. I used to feel it. Fasting is not that serious. Why is the devil fighting it? What kind of hunger is this by this time of the morning? Because normally I wouldn't eat, you know. I could go from morning till 4 p.m. on days I'm not fasting. No, for real, it's not. Some of you do it too. Right? Yes, you guys are difficult. And some of you do it, right? A lot of money till 4 days I'm not fasting. Just there. But then sometimes you don't put the fasting by 6 o'clock. Well, so don't be hungry. Amen. So are you ready for the word? So you notice when you give, like I already said, something happens. One of the greatest errors that I've seen in the preaching of giving is the fact that you should just give because you love God. Nothing happens when you give. That's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's why I said you cannot use one extreme to correct another extreme. Give because you love God. Valid teaching. Nothing happens when you give. It's not God that taught you that one. I feel what I'm saying. There is a result of giving. The right Bible giving. When you give because you love God, you give in faith. When you give in obedience, there is a Bible reward. There's a Bible reward for that kind of giving. There's something it brings about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12. He said, for the administration of this service, not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. Do you understand that? Okay, give me NLT. Because I know, I read it again. For the administration of this service, not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. NLT says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. Is it simpler? He said, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. That's the first reward that comes from giving. I've talked about this. The fact that the needs you are giving towards will be met. And people will not be giving glory to God. Which is why I started by saying you must have the right motive behind your giving. Because if the right motive behind your giving is to be able to get, need met, need not met, it's not your business. You just want your own. The first reward of giving is that you gave for this and the needs you are met. You saw a guy who didn't have a house, or a woman living in a building that is leaking, and then you gave to that woman. And after you gave to that woman, she began to enjoy. Now, what that means is you have solved the problem. And it should excite you. I feel what I'm saying now. It should excite you. So he told them, that's the first thing. The fact that the needs of people are met. And what will make this exciting for you is if your motives are right. If your motives are right, when needs are met, you're excited. I can see the point. Like I give you the example now. One of the greatest joy of a giver is that the person you give is enjoying what you give the person. Yes. That's one of the greatest joy. You know, there are some rich men that just make money and they just look at a church and they feel like, I want to build this church. One of the painful things for some of those rich men is that they give heavily for that church building and it's never built. And it's tiring and frustrating. I can see the point. Because the first reward we expect from giving is that what we are giving for eventually works. And that should be the exciting thing that happens to you. It should be that's the first thing that happens when you give. In itself, it is harvest. So when you give for this and it is already done, you're already reaping your harvest. Don't wait until something happens to you. I get the point now. When major harvest of giving is that needs you are met. Don't wait until your account becomes big. I gave 10,000 naira so that this guy will be able to transport himself home. And I saw him transport himself home. Exciting. Imagine you give somebody 500 naira to be able to enter transport and person treks. And you now meet the person on the road. Checking. And now eating Aki Hausa. Obviously with the money that you give for transport. Now, it's not as though you have a problem with him eating the whatever he's eating, but you know, the reason you gave him that money was so that he can. So, when you are giving your excitement, the first excitement that comes to a genuine giver is that the needs, the reason he gave, the needs was met. That's why I tell pastors this. I tell my ministers this. Anytime people give for something here, it must be used for it. I said, must be used for it. We have a principle here. We don't divert funds. The financing will tell you. You don't hear things like, "Hey, well, they gave for this, but then let's just and do this." When we want to give, and we say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, we need a speaker. Lord, touch people starts to give money for speaker, and people give money for that speaker. Make sure it's used for that speaker, because you ask God to give you money for speaker." I get to the point. You can't say, "Well, even though they gave for speaker, let me use it and buy." It's still the work of God. For Allah, the Ghana Trophy. So it's not, "I will buy speaker. Let me buy table." Is it table for church? How I see it is, if you need money for table, talk to God about money for table and tell the people about it. Are you following what I'm talking about now? Tell them about it. If he was giving for this, reason for that. But that's the first reward of giving. And some of you that are ministers and pastors of churches, this should be this big ministry correction for many people. You don't touch church funds like that. So even though we're supposed to give it for this, let's use for this. I don't do that. I don't believe in it. It's not even scriptural. That the believers give for building the temple. I mean, the Old Testament. They will stone you. I think it's New Testament. They give for building the temple. I did not build temple. You don't use it to do anything. Say you used to do Ark of Covenant. They will stone you. Because every giver has his eyes on the need. Every genuine giver. When you are giving for, say, we want to upgrade our sound. When you are giving for it, your eyes is on when you come into this church and will have beautiful sound. And your fulfillment will come the day you come in here and the sound is sounding. I get what I'm saying now. You say, "Wow, glory to God. Hallelujah." So the first reward is what I'm telling you. First harvest that comes from giving is that needs time. Second harvest that comes from giving, that first Corinthians chapter 9, it says, they will just really expect attention, because that's another thing that happens when needs are met. People thank God. Now see the next verse. "As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news." You see, generosity and obedience. I get the point. Now see the next verse. He now said, "And they will pray for you." That's another harvest that comes from giving. The fact that people that you give to pray for you, the prayer they offer. So people say nothing happens when you give. Come on, people pray for you when you give. I said, but people can pray for you whether you give or not. Well, it is true, but look at what the Bible said here. He said, they will pray for you with deep affection. There is a kind of prayer people pray for you when their needs are met. It comes from the heart. And I always jokingly say when I teach on this, there is God bless you and there is God bless you. It's not the same thing. There is casual God bless you. And there is, my God. You know that? You know, when you hit a chord. Can you imagine what that woman gave to Elijah? And Elijah said, "What can we do for this woman?" The woman said, "I don't need anything." Elijah was still disturbed. Because there was something she appealed to his needs. Are you following what I'm saying now? And so that's one major blessing that comes from giving. That's why people that give always have. And always expect many blessings. Because when you give to people that are committed to praying for you. And let me tell you this. This is not meant to be. But let me tell you. If there's a pastor that has 1,000 members and there are about 2 people who give consistently and give big, anytime he wants to pray for his members, those 2 names will come before his face. More than every other name. Believe it. Say his canal. Say anything you want to say. It's your business. Because if you are the same, if you are in the issues, you have the same. If there is someone that every month, person sends you 200,000. Every month, 200,000. For nothing. And they'll come to us and say, "Pick somebody and pray for the person." You most likely pick that person. Because we are humans. I get to the point. And when people appeal to you, you know, touch that part of you. So look at what Paul said. They will pray for you with deep affection. It's not casual praying. So the prayer of people is another reward that comes from giving. I feel what I'm saying now. It's one major reward that comes from giving. The prayer may be short, but it's coming from a very serious place. Are you following me now? That's why, you know, every time you give, I will pray for you. Every time I give, I will pray for you. And, you know, by the time you are just like giving to a prophet now, by the time you are giving to a prophet, why his prayers always work is the fact that your giving to him is already an expression of your faith in his ministry. So that you're giving is faith. Are you getting the point now? Now, if you don't believe in my calling that God has called me, you possibly will not come and give me 5 million naira. The reason you're able to do that is because really, God called this guy. So that giving is already faith. So when I pray, your faith is already working. Did you observe? Look at this. Did you observe that in 2 Kings chapter 4, when Elisha asked that woman, what can I do for you? The woman said nothing. And Elisha asked Gehazi. Gehazi said, oh, she doesn't have a child. And Elisha called the woman back and told the woman, by this time next year you have a child. What did the woman reply? No, my Lord. She refused. So she didn't even say amen at the prayer. But it happened. Because the service was given to that man of God was an expression of her faith in that calling. Because don't just see a random person and build house for the person. Are you following me this morning at all? She was already shown she believed in that calling. For you to part with your money when we are doing projects here is because you believe that God has sent us. So expect that the prayers that come after your giving will wrought mighty works for you. And that's why it's good I said this. That's why I said that the only reward that comes from giving is not only about money. In this case of 2 Kings 4, what is this woman received for her giving? Huh? A child. A child. So she sold money, sold food. Instead, had a man of God and he prayed for her and she got a child. And she got a child. So the reward for giving is not always money. Are you following me, friends? I can give you many examples of that in God's word. It's not always money. It's not always money. Because prayers can work anything. Prayers can rot anything. When Solomon did that 1,000 burnt offering, what did God ask? He said, ask for anything. What did Solomon get a reward for that? Wisdom. I get to the point. It's just that wisdom is an all-encompassing word that there is not money inside wisdom. But trust me, if Solomon had asked for anything, if he had asked to live for 1,000 years, it would have been granted. Because the check was asked for anything. So it's not only so, there's a lot. Whatever prayer can accomplish can be worked out by giving. Because when people give to you, or when you give to people, they pray for you. And they can pray any prayer for you. Of course, they can pray for money too. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4, I'll read from verse maybe NLT. I'll read from verse 15. Are you still here now? Now look at what it says. He said, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. He said, no other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. Pay attention. He said, I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. So that it's a reward that comes from the ministry of giving. Are you following me now? There's a reward that comes with it. But look at the reward Paul gave them here. He said, at the moment, I have all I need and more. He said, I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. He said, there is sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable to God. Now, see verse 19. What did he now say? This same God that takes care of me will supply all your needs. The reward they got was that he began to pray for them. So prayer is a major, major reward of giving. So when you sow money, the chances are prayer will follow. And whatever prayer can do can come from your sowing. Now it doesn't mean that people will not pray for you when you don't give to them. I guess what I'm saying now. It doesn't mean you wait for people to give you before you pray for them. But it means that giving affects people because people are human beings. It will affect them in some way and they will give and they will pray for you. You don't even know half of it. Giving affects people. Giving affects people's emotions. Has someone ever given you a gift that touched the emotions? Anybody? That made you cry? Now, it's not the kind of cry that women cry. Women cry for anything. You see, that was so thoughtful. That's what I'm saying. I mean a gift that came through. I don't know why I'm crying for Daddy Bear. Did Daddy Bear come through? The gift teddy bear, you are crying. I mean gifts that came through. He said, but the teddy bear was so fine. I didn't see it coming. That's not what I'm saying. I mean a gift that struck a chord. You know, have you ever been at a point where there is no food? Obi, I'm not known to. Nothing. And then suddenly, somebody just comes on the other and says, you know, the Lord led me to give you this 25,000. If I ever experienced it, I've experienced this, I'm telling you. The day you experience it, we know that God really thinks of you. So the person will be seeing is not 25,000. He say, you brought this to me. God bless you. May somebody else remember you. May you not be stranded like me. Yes. You know, there's a particular family that, you know, this story is a popular story in the U.S. They say that family, one of the most family in the U.S., every year they must have somebody from that family in the Congress. But how it happened was, some of you know the story, many years ago, like a couple of, I'm not talking about, it's not 10 years ago, many years ago, like about 2-3 centuries ago, a Presbyterian pastor was looking for a land to build church or to get for church. And he met this man, their great grandfather. And the man said, what are you looking for? He said, land. He said, I have land now, take. He said, we don't have money to be, say, just take.
I follow in points.
Say, just take. The pastor knelt down. You know, there's a kind of prayer where you tell people to kneel down. There's the one you kneel down. Pastor knelt down and prayed a simple prayer. He said, forever in the history of America, your family will forever remain relevant. That thing has stayed in that family till now. I feel I'm saying now. So, the reward of giving is not always, if that prayer can work out anything. That's why I'm going to say this. It's not good to give for the wrong reasons. But some people actually give for this purpose and it works for them. Some people use money to lobby for prayer from men of God and it works. You think it doesn't work? It works. It works 100% of the time. Are you following the point? I know a man of God that is, now he didn't do this for the wrong reason, that is big with crusades all over the world. Shutting down stadiums. How did it happen? Some of you know the story. Al-Bukhi came to Enugu here. Many years ago, I mean in the 90s, came to Enugu to do a meeting. And their church was just young in this town. In fact, at the time, their church was in an uncompleted building that didn't belong to them. They couldn't even rent a proper hall. They were in an uncompleted building. And they were there. Just a few people. So when he heard that Bunky was coming, the first thing he did was, I will talk about this maybe at night. He told all his workers, technical, media team, and what have you, to go and volunteer at the crusade and work for free. Exit point. Then he went to their church account and cleared everything that was left there and carried it to the man. Found a way and met the man and gave it to him. The man said, what's this for? He said, just a seed. And that man said, you are different, oh. He said, your people, they don't give. They only come to take. You know, once we see white people want to take from them. And I experienced that first, and when I witnessed Rad Bunky's crusade, pastors steal from those crusades. Literally. Because they when Bunky and some of these guys, when they come to do a meeting in your town, they don't ask you for a dime. Just raise the team for them. Technical team, how much do people need? You need 10 million, they give. You need to, that's what they do. That's heavy funding for ministry. Don't you like that one? But pastors steal from those things. But pastors even steal now that you are saved. You know that booklet? I've entered a bookshop and I saw now that you are still for sale. You know that book? It's supposedly written not for sale. But I've entered and I saw it for sale. So I asked the person, I said, you're selling this book? He said, yes. I said, is it not for sale? He said, if you have it. So he said, Rabbi said, wow, nobody has ever done this. Your people don't always do this. I told him to kneel down. He laid rest on him and put an anointing upon him. In less than 2 years or 3 years after that, that same ground where Arbonki stood to hold that crusade, the man stood the same place from a church that had not completed building to packing down that stadium. He said that anointing came from that night. Are you following what I'm saying now? So it's not like you're using money to, don't use money to lobby for prayer. But I tell you what I do. If I have access to any great man of God, I always go with money. I honor the man. But I also know that. You get the point? That it provokes something. Don't worry. Don't look at me like that. But it's something I've done. Because that's giving. Because you know, the problem is this. Men of God have needs. Do you understand the point? But there's something I learned. When the Lord, now I'm going to say this. When the Lord puts it to your heart to give to a man of God, he's not the one in need. You're the one in need. Do you know what I said now? He's not the one. You are the one that has a need. That's why I was saying give. He wants to use that you're giving to him to meet a need in your life. And that's the mindset I carry. I don't carry the mindset of, oh, the man has a need. Let me go and help him. That's why you don't help men of God. You don't help the anointed. Even though Elisha had a need of food. The Bible says Elisha came into that woman's house to eat every day. And later had a need of a place to rest his head. That man was the one that had a need. She was the one that needed a baby. So God put that idea in her heart to meet her need for a child. It's not following me this morning at all. So there is a prayer harvest that comes from giving. There's a prayer harvest. So when people say, when you give, nothing happens. No. When you give, something happens. At least people are going to pray for you. We'll pray for you. And I was saying it jokingly before, but I really mean it. You might find out that when we are done with this building, I may come out for 6 weeks every Sunday and pray for people that give. Every week. And I tell you, I do that in my personal prayer. Say, Father, bless the givers. Bless the givers. Bless the givers. I do that all the time. It's a major reward that comes from giving. But I found out in God's word, Paul prayed for this guy. He said, my God shall supply all your needs. You know, people quote that Philippians 4:19. They quote that verse. I say, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory and all of that. But they don't realize that's actually a prayer that Paul prayed for people that gave to him. It's not a verse written as your inheritance in Christ. It was a verse that was delivered as a prayer that Paul made for people that touched him with their giving. And that's how it actually works. Are you following me, friends? So when people say, oh, you give, you get, are there chances that that can happen? Yes. But one of the things that makes that happen is that prayer. But you notice prayer will even go beyond the material getting. It can touch anything. You know, that's what I told you at Zoe about the woman that received 26 miracles. Why at Zoe? Do you remember that story? You know, I told you what preceded that was that the great man of God, A. Allen, was in that meeting. And I was having that meeting. In the process of the meeting, he just said that he wants people to give an offering. Do you remember that story? Already, out of this embassy, the woman had already met her and told her, I just have this amount left. And this amount I have left is for my transport back home. So I don't even have an extra money to pay for an extra night. So if the man of God doesn't pray for this boy this night, then I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I don't have an extra money to pay at the hotel where we're staying. So I must go tomorrow. That's what it means. And those that have left my transport fare. And that night, A. Allen came up and called for giving. So he wants people to give in faith. And that woman was the first to run out. He said, when she ran out, he moved closer to the offering basket to see what she would put. And she put exactly that her transport. That is 100%. The only thing she had left on her. He said when she put that, he went to the back to cry. He said, I went to the back and I said, Father, I've been teaching this woman. Because Adam Shabbat teaches in the meeting every day. He teaches on faith before A. Allen comes up. Do you understand? That's how they run their meeting. He said, I went to the back to try, Lord, I've been teaching this woman faith all the while, but I don't have faith like her. She really that she gave that seed. Now, ARN has never heard about this case. It was not about the woman. It was not, but gave that seed and he just continued ministry. Halfway into the message, he just went, and I'm in a big building. And I see a woman. And that was it. Call that case. Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm only saying that that her giving was a testament to her faith in that man of God. I get what I'm saying now. It was a way to show I believe in this man. And he said that woman, it was dramatic. But as the time I said, immediately he heard, and I'm in a big building. He said, here we go again. That's how you operate. I'm in a big building. And it's white. And it's around Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm standing in front of a hospital. And a baby is born. With 1, 2, 5, 7, 8, 20, 26 major diseases. Yes. Are you what I'm talking about now? That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost too. It's 26 major diseases. He said, woman, if you are here, run out. God is about to give you 26 major miracles. And that woman ran out. And delivered that vegetable. It was a child of the vegetable. The tongue was stuck. There was no tongue. The tongue was stuck. The limb was inside. There was no limb. Just one thing like that. The man of God said, the first thing he saw, because said, the man of God asked, I said, close your eyes. He said, me. I'm not closing my eyes in this kind of thing. I'm going to see it play out. Immediately he prayed. He said, the first thing, the woman, the child's tongue loosened. Pia. Everybody. Limbs. Eye sockets. 26 miracles on the spot. He said, till he died, that's the highest miracle he ever experienced. Now, he went on to become a great miracle worker and all of that. Because you can't follow that kind of person and be useless. He said, that's the highest. But you notice what came about that a woman expressed total faith. You know, by giving your transport fare, I don't have another hope. You are saying, God, if it is either this night or this night. Are you following the point now? Now, again, it's based on instruction. She was led to do it. Are you following the point? But I'm just trying to show you that that was an expression of her faith in God. The fact that they crossed her mind and she did it immediately, that was faith. And it provoked something in the atmosphere. So, yes, giving. When you give, there is prayer that follows. So, when you say, what do you gain from what you're sowing? If you believe in the power of prayer, you should believe in the power of sowing. Because when you sow, prayer will follow. Are you following me this morning at all? Yes, prayer will follow. And if you believe that prayer works, then you should believe that giving works. Because when you give, people are going to pray for you. Of course, let's go to Socrates 9. Let's see verse 7. Are you still here now? What else will happen when we give? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Kambaro shita rakontra de shambre de suprandia lakada. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you here now? 9 verse 7. Now, we are about to read. I want you to follow. Because you are going to see this for yourself. And see the blessing that comes with giving. It says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Do you remember that? For God loves the person who gives what? Are you still here? Did you forget your voice? Okay, let's read it together from your notes or from your Bible or wherever you're reading from. Are you there now? Let's start from verse 8. No, stop. Notice in verse 7, it said, God loves a person who gives how? Cheerfully. What did verse 8 now say? Who is he talking to? The person who gives cheerfully. So there is a reward of material supply when you give. Look at that. God generous. Now, look at why God will do it. Pay attention. God generous supply all you need. Then you will always have everything you need. And plenty left over to share with others. Because you already give him cheerfully. God will supply all you need. So you have what you need and have what to share with others. Are you following me, friends? Now he said, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generosity to the poor. Their goodness will remember forever. Now verse 10, read with me. God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. He provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. Now, in the same way, he will provide an increase of resources and then produce a great habit of generosity in you. So you see what God does? He gives to you and makes you to give. So it's a continuous cycle of giving, getting, giving, getting. So when you give, he makes you get so that you can give again. Because a major reward, a major harvest that comes from generosity is more generosity. Did you understand that in that verse? And more generosity means more money to be more generous. Look at that again. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great amount of generosity in you. He said, yes, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. So God is committed to the giver. Look at that verse 11. He will enrich you in every way so that you can always be generous. Let's go to verse 7. Let me read to you with Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. He said, let each one give as he has made up his mind and propose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver, whose heart is in his giving. Did you see that? Let's read it again, everybody. Let's read it again. Come on, do you have your voice? Read from where you are. Go. Let each one give as has made up his mind and propose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above all things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver, whose heart is in his giving. So he's addressing the attitude of the giver. He said, once you have the right attitude in giving, God is committed to you. Now, what is his commitment? Verse 8. God is able to make all grace. Somebody say all grace. What is in brackets there? Every favor and earthly blessing. Shout amen, somebody. He said it will come to you how? In abundance. What's the reason? So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, or whatever they need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. As it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for what? For sowing. So God always provides for the sower. Are you following what I'm talking about now? If you're a sower, God always gives to the sower so that the sower can sow. That's why you must realize that when God is making you bigger financially, it's because he wants you to give big. Are you following me? Now, continue and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What is the fruit of your righteousness? Which manifests itself in what? Active goodness, kindness, and charity. Thus, somebody say thus. What is thus? Thus is therefore. The result of this is that you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous. And your generosity as it is, administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. So, is there actually a reward for giving? Yes. So what are we seeing here? God makes sure that the giver has much more to give. So I'm telling you confidently, if you are committed to sowing, you always have. Are you following the point? It's God's commitment to you. Now, like I explained this day, not because God will not give to others. Whether you give or not, God is going to give to you. God is committed to his children to provide for them. But then beyond people who will have what to eat, God is looking for people who will be channels, who he will also give, and what he's giving will reach others. Is not following me this morning at all? So I say it again, whether you give or not, God is going to give you. In fact, in the Bible, the condition the Bible gives for having what to eat is that you walk. Yes. It's a very simple condition. Once you have work, God provide for you. Basic what to eat. Diligence is a major condition. Just a little condition. That's whether you are born again, you are an unbeliever, you are giving, you are not giving. Once you are walking, you will have. Are you what I'm saying now? Are you following me? Once you are walking, you will have. However, God is looking for people who will not just have, but who will be able to give to others when they have, whose life will become channels through which God can now reach other people. Are you following the point? So, the idea that if you don't give, you'll be broke is not entirely true. But the truth is that when you give, God is committed to you to see that you have more because He wants you to give more. God is interested in you being generous. So, if you want me to be generous, you have to give me what it takes for me to be generous. So if you are here committed to giving and you're a giver, I'd like you to know that is expect harvest of much more supply. I expect it. So every time I give, I'm expecting much more. If one of the ways I expect much more, I tell you, is that after I do my giving, as I'm releasing my faith, I'm already planning the next giving I'm going to do. Yes. I'm planning for the next giving I'm going to do. Do you know, like I was telling you earlier, this year now, I've been talking to mom from here every now and then. I said, we'll have to give this guy something sometime this year. We'll have to give that one 1 million sometime. We've had those plans. The money has not come, but they've been budgeted. So God is seeing that once He brings the money, one of His sons is about to get 10 million naira rich or 1 million naira rich. Are you getting the point? He said that once He brings the money, the job will be done. That's actually the mystery or the secret behind people that know how to handle pledges when you make a pledge. When you make a pledge, you're saying to God, if you bring the money, I'm going to give your church 1 million naira. I'm putting points. That's why I'm going to encourage you, when you make that pledge, make sure you keep to it. Make sure. Because you've made a commitment. And God will ensure that that money comes. And you will ensure that you give it. So that it's supply to expect when you give. So that there can be harvest of other things, but there will be harvest of resources. And you won't lack it in this season. I say you will not lack it in this season, you know. God always gives seed to the sower. Because He wants him to keep sowing. He wants him to keep sowing. One of the things you must realize is, I don't know why I'm saying this. By divine leading, you should be able to realize the money in your hand that is a seed and the money that is bread. So how do I get to know that? Divine leading. I just told you how. Not every money in your hand is bread. Not everything in your hand is bread. Are you following me? There was a time in my life and ministry where every money I got as honorarium went to the church. Not this church, I wasn't a pastor then. Once I get on a room, I give it as offering in church. That was the time. And I had a lot of meetings then. There was time every month that came from on a room went to Championship Foundation. Because that wasn't the season. You know, Elisha said to Gehazi, he said, is this the time to receive gifts? So there is a time for receiving gifts. There is a time not to. There are certain things the Lord. Now, let me tell you, I'll get to that very shortly. Let me tell you how to operate your life. Around your life. When money comes to your hand, see God as the provider of the money. And if God is the provider of the money, also see Him as the one that will determine how the money will be spent. So have that tiny voice in you that says to the Lord, what do we do with this? Not every man that comes to your hand is for spending. Some of them is for sowing. Again, by divine leading, you will know. Are you following me, friends? Not every money that comes to this, and I tell you, it's something I know. Something I practice. When we began this building project, I told mom, and it's still like that in the house till now. I said, the bulk of the money that will enter this house will go for the building. It's something I said in my heart. Because now the building is going on, you just know that bulk of the money that went to this house. So we just have what we need to be able to eat and survive and all of that. We even sold our things. Really, God put it in my heart, sell that stuff. It stopped becoming mine. It stopped being mine. It stopped being bread to use. I even stopped using it for long. Because it was no longer bread for eating. It's now seed. Are you following me this morning at all? It's now seed. It's now seed. But you have to know that some things will come into your hand. It must be money. You can get a new shoe and the Lord said, don't wear it. It's not for eating. It's for sowing. Do you realize the same maize that you can eat, you can plant. Same means. It's now wisdom for you, the farmer, to know where you should stop eating your maize and now start planting. Because if you eat everything, planting season, you are in trouble. Are you following me, friends? The same maize that you can eat, you can plant. So by divine leading, you're able to know that this one is not for me. This one is not for eating. This one is for sowing. This one is for planting. So people ask you questions around first fruit. What's your teaching on first fruit? Do you believe in first fruit and all of that? Now, I'm not going to come here to preach and tell you every January they give a first salary of the year. I don't preach that. And I will never preach that. But can people give their first salary of the year? Yes. There are people that I know for long in this church that have had it as a commitment. Because God put it in their heart that their first salary of the year should be used as seed. And they've been doing it till now. And God has not left them stranded. Am I going to make that as a law for everybody? Well, I won't. But is it a possibility that God can lead you to do that? Yes. So when God gives that instruction, you know what it means? That your salary is no longer bread. It's now seed. Don't eat your seed. Are you following what I'm saying now? When Elijah told that woman, that flour that you have, you need to bake cake for me. At that point, that flour was no longer for it, for bread. It's no longer bread. It was now seed. Are you getting the point? He said the Lord provides seed for the soul and bread for the eater. The problem is that seed and bread always look alike. So let him be the ones who tell you that this one is bread. Are you following me, friends? And you've got to be open. The giver, the sower, must be open to God's leading in his heart. To know when God will tell him, this is not for you. Please don't eat this. Don't eat it. Because if you eat your seed, your harvest season, you'll be crying. Are you following me? When you hear about things like Radbonkis ministry and the exploit they are doing, they had people that partner with them. People like Kenneth Copeland was a major partner of Radbonki. Major partner. He said when the Lord told Radbonki that he has to increase the number of crusades he was doing in Africa, he told himself, that means I'm going to increase the amount that I give. That's the giver. That's the sower. And you see the results. You see the results. One of the most dangerous givers you can ever meet on earth is Kenneth Copeland. And it's not surprising that he has that much. Because like I've showed you, God is committed to givers. Not because he's into Ponzi scheme. Are you following the point now? But because he knows that once he keeps passing that money through their hands, they will keep having. I can give you a very simple illustration. If you're a father and you have how many children now? You're a father and you have eight sons. Or let me say four boys, four girls. And then you travel out. So every month you send money for all your children, but you send through one person to give to the rest. And then after you send for January, and then they told you, you called some of your children later. They said, we didn't get anything, you know. He said, oh, he gave us 2,000. He said, what? I sent $5,000.
He said, give us only 2,000 naira.
If that happens for 3 times or 4 times, you know what you're going to do. You have to look for another of your sons. I get the point. That you will not be passing that money through. Now, you are not going to, that's what I'm talking to you about God. You are not going to deny the other person money entirely. You make sure he gets his own share. But at least you don't want him to eat his own and eat his brother's own. So that's what God does. So there is a commitment God has for people that give. Are you following me, friends? He has that commitment to them to ensure that they do not suffer lack. So let God be able to tell you that this one is for you, this one is not for you. That's one of the things that God will have to kill inside of you if you're going to be a proper giver, proper sower, is selfishness. Selfishness. Another way to manifest is covetousness. A selfish person cannot give. Because he's just thinking of how much he will get. It takes some level of selflessness for God to leave you to part with everything you have and you part with it. In fact, for God to leave you to part with even 10% of what you have and you part with it, it takes some level of selflessness. A selfish man cannot do that. So that selflessness, God will reward it. Are you following me? And I'm going to encourage you, before I move on. When you sow that seed, when you sow your seed, remember when I was talking about the word of God yesterday as seed? I showed that when you sow God's word as seed, you have to protect it. Remember that? Do you remember that? You have to protect it, you have to nurture it. And I'm telling you, when you sow that seed, that financial seed, there's a way to nurture it to make sure it grows. And there are no, it's not big mystery. Simply release your faith. How do you release your faith? Begin to talk and begin to pray. Those things that I've mentioned that you know about harvest, all that, begin to pray and begin to release your faith. And I'm getting much more. It's one of the ways to nurture the seed that you've sown. You know, I showed you yesterday how the devil rises against the finances of people that give. You see, money in the hands of a selfish man doesn't threaten the devil. Money in the hands of a generous man, especially someone generous to kingdom purpose, is a big threat to the devil. Are you following what I'm saying? Should I say it again? Money in the hands of a selfish man does not scare the devil. You have money. It's money now. Satan even gives people money. So you have it. Enjoy your life. But when there is a man that is quite very generous, money in that person's hand is a big threat to the devil. Because he knows that beyond this money now, being used to buy pepper and salt, it can be used to move the kingdom forward. It can be used for gospel advancement. It can change somebody's life. He can plant things. You know, there are some of you that God has so put this generosity in your heart that if you have the money that can host 10 crusades, you will bring it. Now, if you're in that category, when you do your giving, I tell you what to do. Take to faith, speak the word, and resist the devil. Because he is going to come against your harvest. Because he knows what your harvest means. I get what I'm talking about. Your harvest means that more people are going to get saved. Your harvest means that you're going to produce more Bibles and give to people for free. Your harvest means that more tracts will be printed and shared. Are you following me, everybody, today? Your harvest means that God's men are going to be catered for and are going to be more comfortable to do the work of God. So you will come against that harvest. And you've got to watch for that. And so, the reason why people give and they just relax and say, well, I know my harvest is coming, I'm just going to stay, is because they don't understand that they're fighting against the devil. Who knows what the harvest means? Imagine somebody gets 10 million naira and parts with 8 million naira for the gospel's sake. Even if I'm the devil, you will not get another one. Because I know that if you dead get like 50 million, it means that the church is about to receive like 40. No, we're not going to let that. So that's what some of you should realize, that your business is not ordinary. Your business is spiritual warfare. That contract you are pursuing is spiritual warfare. It's not following me at all. Because that money, that if you get it, you're going to get rich, and being richer is a big threat to the devil. So he's going to fight against it. He's going to fight against it. He's going to do everything for you not to have it. Which is why you don't give and say, well, I'm giving. I know it's coming. No. Something is going to rise against that harvest. I showed you yesterday. When the sower sowed the word, the devil came for the word. He came three different times and in three different ways. He first came with lack of understanding. Remember, why here yesterday? He first came with lack of understanding. When that didn't pull through, he came again. Making sure that word did not have root. He came roots in it. He came with tribulation, persecution, all of that. When that failed, he came again to choke the word with distraction. He will keep coming for the word. Now, every seed, that's a pattern. Every seed that is sown, the devil comes for that seed. Even Jesus has God's, in fact, the first seed we can see, not the first, one of the first, because the first seed is God's word. But the first seed we can see in the Bible was Adam being sown as a seed for the woman. Remember that? God started with Adam as a seed. Satan came for him and corrupted that race. When Jesus came as a seed for the new creation, Satan came for that seed. Are you following the point? When the word of God is sown as a seed, Satan comes for the seed. Now, when you sow money as seed, Satan is going to come for your harvest. Shout amen, somebody. So don't assume that God is just going to say, or the devil is just going to say, well, I'll just leave you have it. Now, that's why some of you will realize that after you do some major givings and you're not positioning for big harvest, suddenly your health breaks down. And the small money you have, you're spending it in the hospital. Are you following me now? Protect your harvest by warfare. By speaking the word, by contending with the word. This woman that left your heart, the hospital is taking it. I just told you yesterday about that. Remember that story I told you yesterday? About a man that promised a pastor. It didn't happen on social media. It has happened to someone under me. Told the pastor, I'm going to get you musical instruments. By few weeks, or be the next week after that, one of his investments, the fruitful station, burnt down to nothing. Because that guy is now about to move his money to something serious. Are you getting the point? If he was using that money to club and ball and, you know, give girls, go to club, spend. That's why, let me tell you, that's why giving in church is under heavy attack on social media. Because it is something that the devil is crazy about. That's why they don't attack you when you give. If you like, spend 10 million on wine in a beer parlor. What would they be writing in the comment section? I tap into your grace. They are balling. I get to the point. They'll be praising you, Odogu. Give half of that to church. They say, Africa. Church is our problem in Africa. There's another problem in Africa. If we remove church, Africa will be good. The day we remove church, Africa will die. Are you following the point? He says, I didn't know what I'm telling you. We remove church. He said, but there are nations where there is no church, but they're doing well. I want to answer you. Because I wonder what you think doing well is. Now, without church, you can have money. You hear the point? Without church, you can have money. But I'm talking about the eternal destiny of nations. Without church, you can't get there. You can't see those nations. Most of the nations where there is no church, where there is most of this other religion, they still practice some terrible church, but they still hang people. This is today. You know, it is the gospel that brings civilization to cities. Are you aware? With the gospel, there are certain things that can no longer happen in the city. Once the gospel comes. So let's leave that one. So the reason why giving is under attack is because giving is a big threat to Satan. Church giving. So don't just think that you will give and everything will be fine. They will come for, the devil will come for that giving. He will come for your harvest. will come for the harvest.
That's why I can tell you, as simple as when you make a pledge in church, take your faith confessions more seriously. Thank you, Lord, for your supplying my needs. And I release ministering spirits to go forth and cause the resources to come in. And Satan, take your hands off my finances. Yes. You got to say that. You are protecting the harvest. Because he will come for the harvest. That's why I always give you, tell you, when you give, talk. When you give, talk. When you give, talk. Because every time you give, you are doing something the devil does not like. Always remember that. You are hurting him. In our boy, Queen Swobi. I get the point. But when you use it for your job, for when you spend it on foolish things. You know, if you say the foolish things people spend money on, apart from all this, even apart from clubbing and all of that. Some people, and I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just telling you a story. Hate me, like me, I'm just telling you. Some people, this last Christmas, going to the village. Some people will buy 10 cars and line it up on a convoy. Some spend over 2 billion naira buying cars so that they can go and show up in the village. And everybody's healing them. Ah, God, when? My own is coming. Foolish thing to do. Foolish thing to do. But if somebody says, my own vision is this particular December, I'm going to make sure that we host 3 crusades. We're going to give it a church. Say crusade. In our generation, why throw your money away? Do it with something is able with it. Are you following me? If you know how much church is doing with giving in this nation, you know why the devil is attacking giving in this nation. How many of you know that there are more than 10, I'm trying to be conservative, totally free hospitals in this nation owned by churches? Are you aware? I've been to one. Totally free. Christ Embassy has one. At least one I've been to, Ikeja. Totally free. And many other churches. I don't know that there are churches in this country that run a totally free restaurant. Are you aware? Totally free. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Totally free. Like you walk in there now, eat anything and go home. Stop shouting we are. We own your own. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot that is happening. Now, I don't want to talk about free schools. Churches run, there are many schools. Free. Start with when missionaries came to Nigeria. All those schools they planted were free. All those schools. And there are still many free schools. Totally free. I know a certain pastor that currently has over 10 free schools. He's not even popular. I don't know him. But he's a son to somebody I respect very well. Free schools. Just come. Pass the exam. Enter the school. Free. Quality education. No? It's not this one. You know that it's free school and there are some schools that you rather don't go there for free. Better can pay. I'm talking about quality education. So think of how much is happening. Think of how many people that wouldn't have gone to school that are going to school. So you think Satan enjoys that giving? He doesn't. Because he knows that if he allows that guy to keep having more money, more things are going to spoil for him. And I jokingly said this today. Many families that are in quote passing through ancestral courses. 10 million naira will end the course. Are you aware? You don't know. Many families are now under an essential course. They just broke. And the devil knows. So they will keep going from prophet to prophet, shouting, amen, I receive fire, I receive fire. If one person just looks at them and says, come, take this 25 million, start business, the course will end. I'm just trying to show you that you must stop seeing money as just something to spend
We must start seeing it as a weapon, as a tool for the gospel, for the kingdom advancement. Money should not just be like something we spend. It should be a tool, a weapon for kingdom advancement. Your harvest is coming. I say your harvest is coming. And now let me talk about something very important this morning. The ministry of giving. I'm just talking about seed time and harvest time. That is the ministry of giving. Everybody, please open your ear very well. Well, this particular concept has been bastardized in a few places where people talk about kingdom financiers. I believe that are kingdom financiers. I'm not just using that term because I want to use the term that the Bible used for it. I get the point. But there is ministry of giving. Yes, giving is a general instruction we see in God's word, as I've just been teaching since yesterday. The general instruction, every believer should give, every saint should give. However, there is also a special ministry of giving with a special grace for it. Are you following me? Just like I said yesterday, every believer should prophesy. But there are people that carry that grace specially. So let me show you. Romans chapter 12. Are you ready? We're going to read Romans 12 and verse 6 with King James, 6 to 8. And maybe we'll check out the translations. Romans 12, verse 6. I don't know when next I'm going to come back to this teaching, so you better get it fully. Amen. You know, when the Lord put it in my heart, I said, am I starting this year with talking about money? You know, I teach about giving at least, I think sometimes once in 2 years. At least the last tape I have on giving. What's the topic again? I think the truth about giving, and that's over like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So better pay attention to what I'm saying. Of course, I refer to giving my message here and there. But this one, so watch this. It's having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, so he's talking about different gifts that we can have. He said, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He now said, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. So he's listing different special graces and ministries people can have. He includes giving. Go back to verse 6. Give me an NLT. Now, look at this. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. So that is prophesying as a special gift and grace. Now, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. And I said, if it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take it seriously. So, giving is something, is a ministry. Much as it is a general instruction for all believers. You know, I'm doing this teaching, some of you will know this. Yes. Many of you don't know. It's a special ministry that people can have. And some of you are there. And by the time I'm not teaching, some of you find out that you are actually there. And you find out sometimes some of you have been suppressing that particular grace upon your life. Are you following me now? Yes. And some of you will also learn, well, I'm going to get to that very shortly. But some of you are there. If you read Acts chapter 4, verse 34, we read about the fact that in the early church, they were selling their things, selling their lands, and selling their houses, and they were bringing it to the apostles. Bible said, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessed of lands or houses, sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. So it was a general thing, just they were just giving or selling their things. But watch this. Next verse. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now see the next verse. And Joseph, so he talked about the fact that everybody was giving, but then he singled somebody out. He said, Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, out of the country of Cyprus. What did he say? Having land, sold it, and brought the money. So why did they single him out? Apart from that, why did they give him name?
It was a repeated thing that they had to call him Son of Consolation. Now, everybody was doing that in the church, but him, it looked like he had a special ability and special grace for it. So they singled him out as the Son of Consolation. I believe he had a grace for that. Are you following the point? I had a grace for that. Special ministry. You read in Luke chapter 8, verse 2 and verse 3 about certain women who followed Jesus about in his ministry. Look at that. Certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. He said, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. And Susanna and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. So these people, they follow just about, just for one reason, to be giving him things. Give me another two of these verses. Let's get together, everybody. Let's go. Herod's business. So she was rich. Herod's what? I'm coming to this matter shortly. Continue. Susanna and many others who were contributing their own resources to support Jesus. Give me Amplified Classic. He said they ministered and provided for him and them out of their property and personal belongings. That was their job. So throughout Jesus' 3 years of ministry, this was their job. And if this ministry is not important, the Bible will not take time to recognize these people. Are you following me? Are you still here now? So it's a ministry you have to recognize. A ministry you have to receive, you have to pay attention to. And a ministry that if God gave it to you, give account for it. That's what I'm saying. It's a ministry like every other ministry. If God gave it to you, you have to give account for it at the end of the day. Now, note this, because that's where we're going to correct a few things. This is not in the fivefold. You can't say, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be an apostle. I'm called to be a giver. It's not a fivefold ministry. It's not the fivefold ministry. There are only five things there. Why are the retreats for the workers? I explained that. What was the first one? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor and teacher. Or pastor who is a teacher. Are you following me? There's only fivefold ministry. So that you don't begin to give in church and begin to demand some kind of special respect and honor giving to pastors because you're a giver. Mm-mm. Are you following the point? Doesn't make you an apostle. He said, not every apostle will carry mic. Some will preach with mic. Some will give their money. That's a lie. Every apostle in the Bible went to preach. Let me touch your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Say, brother or sister. Every apostle in the Bible preached. So don't say, I'm an apostle, but my own kind of apostle, my own is a kind of apostle. I don't have to preach. I preach with my money. Preach with my money. So the fact that you're preaching doesn't make you better than me. You preach with the mic. I preach with money. I've heard some of these crazy things. So call them financial apostles. There's nothing like that. I know it's a popular thing in the body of Christ. I'm telling you. You know, God cannot give a calling in the 21st century that he never gave anybody in the first century. That's what I'm saying now. Something cannot suddenly be a calling that was never a calling before. And let me tell you why I'm emphasizing on this. Because all this financial apostle thing is an escape from doing ministry. I get the point. It's an escape from preaching the gospel. And doing ministry, say, me, I'll just be giving. If you cannot go, let your money go for you. Or can stand up and go. There's a place for your money to go for you. Because there are places you cannot get to. There are missionaries in Niger, in Libya, and all that. You might not be able to get there. Let your money go there. But the way you can go. That's why I'm going to say, the ministry of giving is not a replacement for the ministry of reconciliation.
or ministering to the saints. Are you following me now? We have an assignment in God's word to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. We have an assignment in God's word to preach the gospel. And it is basic for all saints. Bible speaking in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. He said, if any man be in Christ, the new creature, he said, all things have passed away. He said, behold, all things have become new. In verse 18, he said, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself, has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. So every believer has received that ministry of reconciliation. Every believer must go out and preach the gospel. Rich, poor, broke, he must preach the gospel. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, preach the gospel. Usher, choir, technical, preach the gospel. Ordinary member, preach the gospel. Once you are a believer, if you have ever received the gospel, you should be able to preach it. That's the key. That's the key. That's the law. Anybody that's become a recipient of the gospel must be a giver of the same. Or a distributor of the same. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus,
thank you, Lord Jesus. My sin. Oh, yes.
What can separate yours now? What a beautiful name it is.
Yes, sing it. Come on.
What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is.
Come on, sing it like you have life.
Nothing compares to thee. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
So that's the ministry of giving, but it doesn't replace reconciliation. It doesn't replace going to preach. Do you understand the point? Don't say, I'm a giver. Thank you, sir, for that teaching, because I've been looking for why I fit into the body of Christ. I just found out that's why I don't fit into all this preaching thing, but I fit into giving. Look at this. Do you know the same Barnabas that was called the son of consolation in chapter 4 because he gave was the same Barnabas that we saw doing ministry. When the Bible says, separate us from Barnabas and Saul, is that same Barnabas. So even though he carried that special grace for giving, he was still out there doing the work. So it doesn't replace it. I get to the point. It doesn't even replace serving the saints. It doesn't. But then, it's a ministry, it's an assignment that God can give someone. But don't replace everything. In other words, a pastor can have a ministry of giving. Like, I have a ministry of giving. It's something I know. Now, it doesn't mean I will not do my pastoral work again. I'm not saying, please, I'm already giving. Me, I did. I have a ministry of giving. I'm still a pastor. Are you following the point? I'm still a pastor. So you cannot say, for instance, I'm called to be, maybe, you know, even being called to be a prophet does not replace ministry of reconciliation. It doesn't even replace serving the saints in the church. It doesn't. And so, there is a ministry of giving. This ministry is divinely given by God. It's a ministry God gives to people. When I mean divinely, by His own, it's sovereignly given to God. So He gives it to people. And let me say this to you, and this is very important. You do not have to be rich to have this ministry. Because the thing about God's gifts is that everybody that has it, it precedes the person. So, can a poor person have a ministry of giving? Yes. So, can you defend that in the Bible? Who, now, in verse 17, put it up. Elijah declared that there shall be no rain. And of course, there was no rain. That brought famine. And the Lord told him to go to the brook. And he stayed at the brook there, and a raven was feeding him. The brook was flowing, and the raven was breaking bread. And after some time, the brook dried up. Go to verse 8. Ravens brought him bread and flesh, and then he was drinking from the brook. Then Go to verse 7, please. Watch this. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain. He prophesied that there would be no rain. There was no rain. So the brook dried up. And in verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him. Now see verse 9, everybody. And he said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded the widow woman there to sustain you. So God here is giving an assignment to sustain a prophet to a widow who had nothing. I get the point. So that's why I say we have to correct all this teaching. Because it looks like in the body of Christ, the only people who say are scared of finances are people that have money. So you're not a kid of finance until you just blow and have big money. You say, you're not a kid of finance. No. One, if you have a ministry of giving, eventually you're going to be rich. Eventually, I'm going to get to that. But you don't have to be rich to have that ministry. I've always known that I had that stuff upon my life when I didn't have a dime. I'm going to tell you how I knew. So by the time Elijah met this widow at Zarephath, she was cooking her last meal. But you're going to see how the mission of I run out of myself. Just go there. You're going to see how the mission of giving manifests. How to tell that she carries that in. Watch this. Next one, quick. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he said, and he called her. Give me like an answer. I want you to see this. We have to understand how this thing works. So he went to Zarephath, as he arrived at the gate of the village. He said, widow, gathering sticks. I asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? Watch this. As she was going, stay there. She was broke. She didn't have it. She was about to cook her last meal. You'll soon find out. But the prophet said, give me water. She said, okay. So she was willing to give what she had. She didn't have anything. But at least she was willing to give water. Imagine, there's somebody who have asked, say, which give you which water. Remember, I don't think she knew who Elijah was. Maybe she did. Because after I don't have money, asking me, I've not even eaten, I'm about to keep my last meal, asking for water. And water was a big deal in the land then because there was no rain. I just read previously that the brook has dried up. Are you following me this morning at all? It was a big deal. But they said, give you water. And the woman was still going to bring it, even though she had nothing. And as she was going to get it, he now called her, bring me a bite of bread too. Continue. But she said, I swear by the Lord, your God, that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal. Then my son and I will die. So you see God giving a responsibility to give to a woman who had nothing. So it's not something that is limited to maybe people from rich homes. I get the point now. Somebody should go and give to anybody. Of course, but you operate in that ministry, as we're going to see, and you nurture it and grow in it, eventually it's going to change your finances. It eventually changes this woman's finances. I get the point. But I mean, you don't need to have money for God to give you that assignment. So go and give it to anybody. And one of the ways to recognize this particular grace upon your life, it's not by checking your pockets. Let me give an example. When you notice that there is always a constant press in your spirit to give, even when you do not have, there's always a constant press in your spirit. Sometimes you see someone and you are bothered for days and for weeks about the person and how you can give person. Sometimes the person is not doing anything for you. As long as you don't even have. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, every believer should love to give. I'm talking about this. You'll find that constant press, that constant nudge of the Spirit. Look at every time God is nudging you to give out something to someone. Every time God is nudging you in that direction. Even if you don't have anything. Are you following me? So you find that it's always there. It's always there. When you find that nudge always in your heart, pay attention to it. There is a possibility that God has placed a special grace upon your life for giving. Before I knew there was anything like this in the Bible,
I used to wonder why my life was different. Why I cannot get things and enjoy it. But once it's coming to my hand, it's like something is pushing me to just part with it. You know, I hosted a man of God. Some of you were in that meeting some years ago. Not here, when I was JCB president. So it was this general school thing. So, you know, when you are running that kind of international fellowship thing, anything goes. Not anything though, but then you don't have to bring your... So in the course of that meeting, when God was ministry, people began to give. I don't know if you remember this meeting. People, when I mean, it's not money, it's not just money. People are dropping their bags, dropping their phones on the stage, dropping their shoe. Amen. So, at the time, I didn't have a phone. I had one phone. I had a phone, though. I had a phone, but then, you know. So when they finished all of that, I gathered everything. I gathered the whole thing they dropped on the altar. And I took it to the man of God. And I said, "This, they gave this when you were preaching." So he said, no. He said, it's against his principle. That when people give on an altar, that is the person that invited, is the host. That is his, you know, that was what it'd be. I tried to convince him in the future. I said, okay, talk. But you know, I carried that in. The phone, the money, everything. Immediately, I stood up from there. I knew who to give every of those things to. And when that was happening, I was asking myself, why is my own case different? Can I just enjoy my life? I'm talking about over 7 to 8 phones. I'm not joking, no. I would have sold some. I stood up from there. Parted with all of them. Only one was left. I follow the point. No one was left. With everything that came, their shoes, whatever, everything. I just told my leaders, give this one to this, give this one, give this one to this one, give this one, everything. So you can't keep it for yourself, say, just pass it. Don't just have one phone. I follow what I'm saying. Now, I also wonder, why can't I get things and just stay? You know, every time I growing up, every time money enters my account, I'm already under pressure. Who am I going to give this? Under pressure. And I used to wonder, what kind of rubbish is this? Amen. Are you still here now? It's a grace that God gives. That's why we have noticed that pattern and flow in your life. I fought it at first, then I allowed it. Are you following me? I called it at first and I allowed it. Do you know when I began to, when I picked some people in this church, they didn't even know that I picked them. It's when I now started that they found out I picked them. And I told them, some of them I said, throughout your stay in school, every time you need pocket money or anything, just let me know. I didn't have money then. They don't know what I mean. I didn't even have a car. But that was heavy in my heart. I started paying people's school fees over a couple of years back now. And it's not because of it, and nobody's going to know about it. Now, it's something that God puts in the heart of people. As some of you that carry those sort of stuff, don't suppress it. It's not everybody. But let me even add this. Even though it's not everybody that carries that ministry, everybody can desire to flow in it. Are you aware? Just like every other ministry. You know, you can desire to flow in the healing anointing. You can desire to flow in the prophetic. But let me show you that already in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. With NLT. Or with, maybe, with King James first, then we'll get to other translations. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and all your love towards, see that you abound in this grace also. What grace was he talking about? He was referring to giving as grace. Give me like an answer, I can see it very clearly. It says, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, in your gifted speakers, and in your knowledge, and your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want to also excel in this gracious act of giving. So, a person can seek to excel in that grace. And even though I don't have this stuff, like he's talking about it, but I really want to excel in this. It's a ministry you can covet. Rather than we can convert the best gifts. Are you following me, friends? So you can convert it. But I'm telling you, there are people that carry it. And it's something you should convert. Something good to convert. Even like Amplified Classic of that verse. Let's do it together, everybody. Let's go. What happened to your voice? Where did you drop it? Let's go together. In everything, in faith, in expressing yourselves, in knowledge, in all zeal, in your love for us. See to it that you come to the front now and abound and excel in this gracious act of almsgiving also. So it's something you can seek to excel with. Right? So even if God carries it as a ministry, you can seek, I like what I said, I want to excel in it. I'll tell you how. But generally, there is a ministry of giving. There is a special ministry and a special grace of giving. Shout amen, somebody. Let me point out some categories I've observed in this ministry. There are some people, for instance, that how this particular grace operates in their lives is that God always points out to them needs in people in the church and needs in people's life without those people talking about it. So that's their own operation. They just see somebody who looks okay, but God just says he has a need. I've known some of them in this church that carry that stuff. One of the people, God can even tell that girl she needs her school fees. Give it up. That's one oppression of that gift I've seen. Where God constantly, not once in a while, constantly points out people. So as you come to church, a need that nobody's talking about, God will point out to you and put it on you as a burden. And for long, you're wondering, why is there no church boss here? Why is there, it's on you. Now, the church is not talking about it, but it's on you. I've seen that flow too. It's also following me. Where God points out needs in the church and needs in people's life to you. Especially. And it's just there. They are wondering, how do I meet this? I know people that will begin to save up for it. That's what I'm saying. It's not about people that have money or don't have money. I can see the point. An example, even though this is not a perfect example, that woman falls in a category. But an example of that, for instance, is that woman that met Elisha. And just saw Elisha and felt this man is hungry. So God put it upon her heart. A lot of time he told the husband, I just feel you should build a house for this man. Now Elisha didn't ask for anything. But God pointed it out. It's one of the expressions of that gift and that ministry in people's life. And some of you are there. Where we can all be in church sitting around like this. And God is pointing out somebody to you. Say that, sister. Every day she comes, make sure you cater for her transport home for the next 6 months. That lady never takes in the transport. I feel what I'm saying now. It's one of the expressions of that gift, of that grace, of that ministry. Another one I've observed in people's life is these people that are focused on kingdom projects. Of course, the projects that are announced. These are people that when you come to church and you announce, now God doesn't point things out them like the other people. But when you announce, we are about to do this, it comes on them like a burden and they will not stop. They will part with their last one naira until that thing is done. It's also an expression of that gift. An example of it is Barnabas. Because the background of that story was they needed to feed people in church and all of that. They needed to take care of the thing. Barnabas took it as a burden and went as far as selling his land, selling his houses. It rested on him like a burden. Some of you are there. That's why part of the reason I'm doing this teaching is that when such things rest on you, don't throw them off. But there are some of you that you just come to church and you see someone and he's just saving you, and you have to pay the person's school fees. I'm wondering, what do I know this brother from anywhere? Which one is my own? And this the thing is following you everywhere. Don't throw it off. The special grace for it. Someone has to announce kingdom projects like this. There are people here that in Delhi I mentioned we are going to have crusades this year. God is already pushing you up and down, putting it as a button in your heart. That's the man of God I was talking to you guys about. it was so much on him to finance, because he's a man of God, that he started a company, a multi-million naira, if not dollars company. And every single dime that comes from that company goes to ministry. He's doing crusades all over the world with his personal money. Doesn't have partners. Like I said, he has his company, makes the money. He doesn't spend a dime. God put that in on him. And I heard him say, till he dies, see, even after he dies, that nobody has the right to spend a dime from that company. He said, when they do it, the company will shut down. I feel what I'm saying. Because that was the purpose he created it. Now you can imagine the kind of burden that somebody will carry to go as far as setting up a company, setting up a board, registering it, make manufacturing things for the purpose of the gospel. Now everybody can give, but not everybody carries that thing. That one, I can see the point. I'm saying, some of you are there. Now when a project is announced, you just feel like some of you, it looks like you can no longer rest until it is done. Don't suppress it. And that is the third category. My pastor calls it this, and I love to use, I will borrow his words exactly. He calls it carers of the called. People that they are, the Lord puts the burden of the anointed on them. You get the point? You see them, they might not be so much concerned about what goes on in church. They give to, but there is a special burden that they carry for the anointed. So you see, those are the category of people, Christians, you see. It looks like some of them even put their pastor on salary every month. They can just sit down and say, the way I'm looking at this pastor, I think pastor is a new car. He begins to save for it. I think pastor is, sometimes I wonder, what is wrong with you? I don't even see pastor. Sometimes I can even mistake them for doing eye service. I get what I'm saying. An example is that Luke chapter 8. You see those women, Joanna, Mary Magdalene, they took it upon themselves to provide for Jesus. So they made sure, say, Jesus, don't walk. Now we'll be there for you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You know, one of the things that the Lord does for every man that he calls is that at different seasons in his life, he sends such people to him. I have such people in my life, even in this church. Some of them that are here who make up their mind that, and one of that is not about money. One of these that my pastor was teaching on this was talking about this, and he pointed out one of the pastors in the church that he said falls in that category. This guy, for how many years now, even from the time he just left school, he came to his pastor's house, found out the kind of water that he drinks. He makes sure that water never gets exhausted. Every week he must supply it. Now he's not a very wealthy guy. He's even a full-time pastor. I get the point. But that is what he can do. And that was the day my pastor that was his first day of revival. He has never referred to that thing. He's never discussed it with him. He doesn't even act like he noticed it. But immediately he mentioned, he said, today is your rewarding day. He came and put his hands on him. See grace there. Put every grace. You know that it's a protection that they'll be giving somebody, you'll be feeling it on your seat. And the person is collecting it to yourself. Is it to you? What I'm telling you, it's something that God gives people. They are just there to care for the cause. That woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 falls in that category. Just saw Elisha. I say, come in and eat. That's how it started. Later came. Say, come and eat again. Eat again. And she wasn't dishonorable. So much so that Elisha, who rejected a gift from Naaman, remember Naaman's story? Felt free to enter that woman's house to eat every day. And because it's not about pity. You know, I'm not talking about pity. I get to the point. I'm not talking about pity. I'm talking about dishonor. If I got to a time, she now told her husband, he said, I perceive that this man is a holy man of God. I perceive. My God. I perceive.
In other words, she didn't even know, and that's what I'm talking about, the anointing. She didn't even know much about Elisha's ministry. You know what I'm talking about? It's not like she has seen it. She didn't know much. Just that the thing was just on her. Say, please, can we build a room for him and put table there and put lamb there? And they did that. And said, Elisha, I can imagine Elisha came one day. He says, sir, this is your room key. He said, how? Say, we consolidated it for you. So she literally built a house for the man. Carers of the called. And then Elisha got under pressure. So what can we do for this woman? Because even me, I'll get under pressure. That's why that carried those stuffs. I'm saying this so that you shouldn't suppress it. Don't suppress it. There's no way that see two of these kind of flows I mentioned now in your life. Some of you see three of them. Some of you see one of them. When you find those things, don't suppress it. Fan it to flame. With a special gift that God can give people. Where you just find out that whenever there's a project in church, I get very uncomfortable. I just want to get it done. All that's really a testimony to remind them my own. I don't even, it gets to a time where God is demanding everything of me to get it done. Don't fight it. Some of you, he oppressing you by pointing out needs in people, in the sense. You just see somebody and for like 2 weeks you're uncomfortable because you need to give that girl that new hair that you bought. Just uncomfortable. Just uncomfortable. You see, which one is my own? Sometimes the girl you're talking about is even wearing a finer hair than yours. I'm asking Holy Ghost, which one is this? She has. Because they give her. You are my strength. You are my covering. You are my stability. My foundation. You are my strength. Yes. You are my covering. You are my stability. Thank you, Lord.
My foundation.
You are my shield.
You are my shield.
Sing from your feet.
You are my covering.
Hey,
you are my stability. My foundation.
You brought me to the place. Thank you, Lord.
The place you are.
The secret place.
The secret place. That's where I live now.
You brought me
to the place.
The place you are.
The place you are.
The secret place.
The secret place.
Ways to suppress this particular grace in your life is when you begin to seek appreciation or seek recognition or pick offense because you did it and they didn't recognize you. It's a grace that God gave you. If you prophesy, do you need thank you? If you need thank you when you prophesy, then you're going to lose it all. If you heal people, do you need thank you? That's special grace. People begin to seek, well, I've been given a pastor, he has never called me to say thank you. All the human beings in the church, nobody recognizes me. Okay. If God has put it on you, carry it, own it. Own it. You don't seek appreciation. Did you observe that when Elisha called that woman and said, what can I do for you? The woman said, nothing. In other words, I'm not doing it for any reason. I just perceive that you're a man of God. That's why I should do it for you. See, even though there was a harvest that came from that, the harvest was not the motivation. Because it was something that God blessed her with. And some of you are there. Don't suppress it. I'm not talking about these crazy things people do with giveaway. He said, hey, I'm going to call the first 10 people to post their account number.
who received 10,000. I'm not saying it's bad. But let me tell you what that thing is. That thing is not a giveaway. That thing is a way to boost your page. Do you know what I said? You don't know? Do you know if I ask 20 people to post their account number, I am sure that over 2,000 people will post it. Generous engagement. People now will post and say, ah, please let them pick me, oh, remember me. Oh, that's, it's not bad, though. Some of you that are business people, use it to grow your page. As some of you do it and I like it, it's good. Use it to boost your page. I get the point. But that's not what I'm talking about. Are you following me? Are you following me now? That's what I'm talking about. Some of you carry special graces to do certain things well. And even if you feel you don't have it, it's something you can decide to say, like, Lord, I want to excel in this. Because when I get to the implication of it, you'll find out. And the blessing that comes with it. Amen. If one, you know, one of the implications of this, I'm going to say two things. One of the implications of having this ministry upon your life is that you realize that you do not actually own anything. But your job is to use everything for the purpose the Lord said it should be used. People in this ministry, they don't own anything. I mean, they can be driving car, but they know that that car might not be their own by next week. Yeah. I feel what I'm saying now. They can get money. They know that there are chances. Now, when you are in that ministry, let me tell you what it means. It means God, like I've been explaining, God is passing money through your hand for a purpose. So whenever the money comes, you know that it may not be my own. God will be asking me to push it to someone else. Maybe this money came for this purpose. Because you know you carry such a ministry. So you don't own anything. You must realize that when God brings you here, nothing belongs to you. Nothing belongs to you. Even your house is not yours. Because God can demand for it anytime. Give it to someone. What it means is that your life is now a channel. Just like when you look at a long pipe with two open ends. That's what you are. So God sees you like that pipe, that if he wants to take water to someone, he passes the water through you. So people in that ministry don't own anything. What it also means that money in your hand is now a weapon for the gospel. So when 10 million enters, another weapon has entered. That's why I was telling you earlier, Satan sees those people differently. He knows that these people are... And let me tell you, if you want to excel in this particular grace, I tell you what to do. Number one, recognize that it is there and have a desire to excel in it. Have a desire to do better with it. If you notice that thing is your life, don't suppress it. Recognize it. Recognize it. I get to the point. Recognize that it's there. Acknowledge that, oh, God has given me this. You know that's how to flow in every other gift. If God said, I've given you a special gift of healing, you have to recognize that I have a special gift of healing. And I'm going to decide to do better with it. So first, recognize it. Number two thing I'm going to say. Take your financial prosperity seriously. Because you need that prosperity to be able to do that which God has asked you to do. What do I mean by that? Take it seriously. Take your work seriously. Take investment seriously. Take your faith life seriously. All those things you know about prosperity, take your financial prosperity seriously. Work, investment, diligence. And then, things like faith, confession, everything we've learned and you keep learning about prosperity, take it seriously. Because your prosperity is now a tool for kingdom advancement. Are you what I'm saying now? So take it seriously. It means that a decline in your prosperity will be a decline in the fulfillment of God's plan for your life. I agree what I'm talking about now. So you've got to take it very seriously. The Lord of hosts, the King of glory,
Yahweh Sabaoth.
Yeah.
Yahweh Sabaoth.
The Lord of hosts,
the Lord of hosts,
Say the Lord of hosts.
The Lord of hosts.
The King of glory.
The King
of glory.
Yahweh Sabaoth.
Take your prosperity seriously. So what will teach on prosperity, all those kind of things. Some of you that are there need to go and invest more in learning about kingdom prosperity. Get teachings, get books, because that thing is a major. It's no longer be prospering just every other, like every other person wants to prosper. Take it seriously, because lack will now be a hindrance to what God wants to do with you. One of those guys I can confidently tell you in the body of Christ that carries that stuff is Kenneth Copeland. I already mentioned him. People say, I have money. And you don't know why he has that kind of money. That money is a part of his assignment. I told you guys, when I think it was Haiti, was going through stuff. All those are happening. Was it earthquake or so that happened in Haiti also? That governments were sending relief and Kenneth Copeland was sending his own personal planes to Haiti to kind of rescue people. When governments of the world are sending relief to certain countries, Kenneth Copeland sends relief as a man. Sometimes in the quantity that government sent. I get the point. A government might send 10 relief, and Kenneth Copeland can send 15. I didn't say it's ministry. Him. It was Jezebel also that said he has not seen a bigger giver than that man. I get the point. And see that family, even that kid again. I think Jezebel said the first private jet he ever had, the first airplane he ever had was given to him either by Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin. I'm not talking about now. So now people are shouting that buying plane. They, as at 1990, Kenneth Hagin also was already dashing out plane. Say amen. It's not today. And you notice, it's not for show. It's not for show. It's not for show. It's not for show. So if God is bringing you into that stuff, please take your commitment to your growth and prosperity very seriously. I take my prosperity very seriously. Faith, confession, faith, action, everything, because I know what it can do for people. I know the devil doesn't like it when I prosper. Because, you know, there are people that when they prosper, they have prospered. But there are people that when they prosper, 10 people have prospered. I get to the point. There are people that their prosperity will be the answer to many people's prayer. There are people that their prosperity will be the answer to the prayer of many churches. Many churches praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive, bless, increase us, make us bigger, make us better, give us this, we want buy land. God will just say, don't worry, I have one of my sons I'm sending your way. Be that son. There are pastors that God has set up some of these guys that carry this ministry around them. And in everything that exists, be that son of consolation. Don't suppress. And that will take me to the next thing about excelling in this gift. Never suppress divine leading in the area of giving. Never. That's one way to excel in it. One way to excel in that gift, in that grace. Never excel divine leading in the area of giving. I can tell you, come tell you, the devil will never lead you to give. He will never. So most of them will tell me, sir, I've been having this nudge in my heart to give this, but I don't know whether it is God or it's devil. I say, can it be them? How can they be having nudge in your heart to give money for a crusade? I don't know whether it's God or it's devil. Never suppress. Now, it is either God is leading you to give. The only thing that it can be, if it's not God,
might be just the pressure from environment. Maybe because if I don't give now, it look like I did not give. Apart from that, it's God. Don't suppress it. What I've found that most times is that if something crosses my mind about giving, most of the time it is God that put it there. Stop suppressing those promptings by the Spirit. None of you just have a way of shutting down what God is trying to do through you. Shutting down. God tells you this $1,000 I entered your hand. Look at your pastor. Give it to her. Say $1,000. See, my pastor that has money. Someone already has, you're trying to give to the person. That's not how to do it. Because I tell you some of the time, God will ask you to give to a pastor who doesn't have. Sometimes you ask you to give to a pastor that has. That's even the problem. That one is more painful. I follow in points. You know, it looks like this grace, special grace, was upon the Philippian church. Paul said they were the only church that sent help again. You know, many people just enjoy saying things like, Paul was not doing full-time ministry. Paul was a tent maker. But you did not read that there was a particular church that their job, Paul told them, Philippians chapter 4, he said it was sent again and again. In verse 18, he told them, currently, you can imagine that. He said, currently, I have everything. I am full. You can imagine for you to give the man of God that he writes to you, say, guy, I'm okay. And it's not because God has prompted me, because I've received. Look at that. Let it together. Let's put NLT. Let it together, everybody. At the moment, I have all I need. And what? So how did Paul have everything? Did what drop on from heaven? Next, I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. He said, I'm supplied with them. The gift was too much. So Paul had, this was an entire church that carried this. If you're a pastor here, you should see that your center will be that example. That one day your pastor can say, this particular center, I look forward to their seed every month. I get the point. So pay attention to every leading of God to give in your heart. Don't suppress it. And don't turn away from it. If God leads your heart, I'm teaching you something now. To give something to someone. You are sure it's God that led you and you don't have it yet. And you decide to do it. Please make sure you do it. Don't turn it down. Make sure. That's why I talk about the danger of unfulfilled pledges. It's not like God will strike you. You get the point. Well, you're teaching your heart something that is wrong. Are you following the point? Make sure. Respond to the nudging of God in your spirit. That prompting in your heart, respond to it. Give big. Because all these people read about in the Bible, they could have easily ignored that nudge. So believe me, easily ignored it. Because I tell you this, people don't give because they have. People give because God has set their heart to give. Nobody gives because he has. In fact, if you pay attention, you know that most people that are rich don't give. The best they give is peanuts. You know what I'm saying now? He said, my boy. Work less are you now? Fire now, yeah. Wow. Proud of you. What? Take this 1,000 naira. Yeah, I don't like receiving that kind of gift. Before you say, I made Abraham rich. So that tomorrow you now say, I used to train him in school with what? People that are rich don't give. Yeah, they don't. It doesn't take money to be a giver. It is the Holy Ghost that prompts the heart of man. And even
digress to say, when anybody gives you anything, appreciate it, because it's not, people don't give you because they have. They give you because God led them to give you. When anybody gives anything, appreciate it. So, because you don't even know what it means to them. You don't know what it means to them. Some of you can testify, especially some of you that carry some of this special ministry of giving. There are days you give and you are left with nothing. You just give it. As long as the person doesn't even appreciate it. Whenever people part with their things and give you their things, appreciate it. Don't say, he's giving because me, if I have like him, I'll give more. Maybe not. Maybe not. He say, what I say, a man has 10 billion naira. Don't you know? You don't know if I have 10 billion. You have 10 billion naira needs. Are you not aware? There will never be a time that you don't have needs. But the more your money is growing, your needs are pursuing your money. What needs do you have now? You want a shoe, you want this. There's a level to get. You're talking about your content on the high seat. That one is a need on a whole new level. Are you following me now? Then sometimes what I look at, that people just have their needs. If I tell you some needs I've heard that people have, I'll be amazed. People have their needs. Do you understand? Everybody has needs. Look at a church and say, that church has money. Every church that gives you money, they gave you because they want to give you. You see, church has Jesus Christ. Church has needs. So even a church that has 100 billion naira has needs to that capacity. Did you hear about how much they used to roof Glory Dome? You can check it. It will establish you and your ancestors for life. I mean, your entire ancestors. So, don't say they are giving because they have. That's a sense of entitlement. I don't keep entitled people around me. I don't do that. I'm a pastor. I have realized that people only give it because they have. You know, when I said pastor renewally, I used to think, sincerely, that when you have rich people in your church, you will enjoy. When I began to pastor, I found out that the most consistent givers and the biggest givers to my ministry are not the richer people. I found out. I'm the richest people. The richest people. The people that earn in millions. Some of them, you don't see nothing. But there are some that earn in hundreds of thousands that every month are committed to you. You know what? They've learned not to shut down that rhythm of God in their hearts. Because if you do that, you're shutting down your harvest. Imagine when Elisha told that woman, come bring me, make cake for me and bring. The man has said, do you know this man? He's very, very wicked. She just told that this one I have is my last. Yes, you said I should come bring down my last for you. The kind of men of God have in our generation these days, only God will judge. Heartless people. Elisha knew that if she obeys that nudge to give, that will open her up to the more that is coming. And that's how this kingdom financing thing works. That's why I said, even though you need money to fulfill this ministry of giving, you don't need money to have the ministry, to receive the ministry. You don't need money. So you can receive the ministry with nothing, when you have nothing. Are you still here, friends? But you now need money to fulfill it. So what do you do? Start with what you have. What did that woman start with in that chapter? Started with water. Go and bring me water. Okay. At least I have that one. Even though water is a big deal at the time when that was happening, but at least I have it. So I'll start with that. So never suppress divine living. I'll say two things extra on selling this gift. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Now, I'm going to finish this teaching. I will finish it. So just be alive. Glory to God. I'm not going to stop. It's the mansion. I forgot the name of the meeting. Do you know where the word imagine? Do you know how we came about with immersion? We immerse you in the world until you are dripping word. Don't think I don't see your sleepy eyes. I see them. I see them. But I also see your eagerness to open them. So yield to the Spirit. I see here. So I say, never suppress the value in the area of giving. Next, I'm going to say, let a portion of your income be set aside for the ministry. In fact, I encourage people, let a portion of, if you run a company, let a portion be set aside for the anointing and the anointed. Always encourage that. That's how to excel in it. Let a portion of your income be set aside. Now that's an instruction for all believers. But especially if you sense this grace upon your life, let a portion. Everybody already knows. There's a portion of my income that goes to my pastor. There's a portion of my income that goes to this. I have all those things set aside like that. Set aside like that. Set aside like that. You know, when a portion of your income goes to the ministry, you know, what you are actually telling the Lord is that when you bring more, I'll keep doing. You know, there are people that do some funny things. They think they're fooling God. They say things like, if I get money here, I will so give. If time is coming, Steph, in the future, when if you want to build church, I'll just bring out my money and I'll build it. And the one we're building now, even your 2-5 has not entered. Don't think you're fooling. That time will never come. Not because you will not have money, but you never do it. If you cannot pass with 2-5, you can pass with 20 million. You can pass with 20 million. I get to the point. Let a portion of her income now be set aside. What that woman could do was that she could give water. Let a portion be set aside. First Corinthians 15 and verse 2. He said, upon the first day of the week, give it on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered you. That be no gatherings. Let a portion as God has prospered you. Give me like NLT of that verse. And it said, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect that one. That's why we teach partnership here. That a portion of your income is set aside. If you are a kingdom financier, you have that grace and all of that, and or you want to excel in that as you should want to, take this verse very seriously. Set aside a portion of your income. I get to the point. From your enterprise, I normally tell people, if you run a business, let a part of that business be dedicated to the work of God and the anointed. Yes. A part of it. A part of the income that comes from there. Learn it. I heard of a company that give 90% of their income to church and to charity. 90%. When I heard that, I was like, how rubbish is this one? I thought it's 10% I meant to give. It's 90%. You know the implication of that? It means God gives them so much that their 10% will be enough to run the business and still supply their needs. That's heavy. But you see, you cannot do that if God doesn't lead you. 90%. You know what is 90%? You know, that things you see, you cannot doubt that it takes a special grace to do it. I get to the point. 90%. Do you know what is 90%? You finish working and they pay you 800,000. You know what is 90%? It's 720,000. You now keep 80. Or you do a big contract and they pay you 20 million. You know what 90% is? 18 million. So you keep 2 million. So they say, am I working for the church? Is it church I'm doing business for? But for real, you can't do it. God doesn't lead your heart and encourage and grace you with it. Shout amen, somebody. I say shout, don't say amen. Shout amen. You said I had a portion. Let me give you one other instruction in excelling in this grace. Now, I normally say once in a while. But I heard my pastor say,
you should do this once in every 4 months. Once in a while, practice heavy sacrificial giving. That is one way to train yourself in that grace. So what it is that once in every 4 months, do something sacrificial from your giving. Now, whether that is project or not, do the regular Saturday something in portion. At least once in every 4 months. One way to train yourself, just like what we teach about divine healing, what they said in divine healing and all of that. Once in a while, carry on back, go to the hospital. I'm going to lay hands on people. That's the same thing. Practice sacrificial giving as God will lead you. He said, what if he doesn't lead me? He will. He will at different times. Do something sacrificial. Because if you just keep giving at the level where you can, you cannot excel as a man who carries the ministry of giving. So once in a while, practice sacrificial giving. Once in 3 months, once in 4 months, 2 times in a year. You know, have you observed what I do for you guys in this church? That at least 2 times in a year, in every year, I will ask you to give some sacrificial. Have you observed that? Observe that every year. This is the principle I'm obeying. Last year, it was about the building. The land and the building. Last year, I think it was about Zoe also. I will always ask you to do something. That was the year it was about our air condition. I will always ask you to do something sacrificially once or 2 times in a year. Because that's how you service yourself in that grace. Are you following me? So learn it. Learn it. It's deliberate. I'm not even this year. By tomorrow now, I'm going to call for sacrificial giving. I wanted to do it today. But because of this teaching I'm doing, I'm not going to do it today. I explained that to you, Eliabi. That's what I'm doing. But it's once in a while, it's something sacrificial. Don't be the person that runs away from sacrifice. Do you know when you heard that Solomon gave and God told him, do you know how much Solomon gave? He gave 1,000 burnt offering. You know what is burnt offering? Let's pick any animal. Ram. You know ram. How much is a full grown ram sold for now? Do you have an idea? 150,000. 150,200. Ram. So let's say it's 150,000. Solomon slaughtered 1,000 of it. That is 150 million on the spot. I'll just give you an example. So imagine the priest that was slaughtering the thing. They go slaughter fire. Back to back, back to back. 50. So do we keep bringing us? 100, 200, 500, 1,000. The angel of God came to him at night and said, what's happening? So is that sacrificial giving? Do it once in a while. I can see the point. Once in a while, do it. You need to flex your spiritual muscle in that grace. We didn't read that Solomon did that every day. I get the point. He didn't do that every day. But that was a special occasion. He just finished building the temple. So he was in great gratitude to God. He said, well, let's do this. David was a man that had that heart. That giving thing was with David. Do you know that when the Lord told David not to build the temple, he still went ahead. You know, Solomon did not spend the time in that temple. He didn't spend anything. No. David provided every single master. He bought it with his money. So I can't do this, right? Don't worry. I'll provide every single thing to the last. And kept them. So when Solomon came, just went and said, building. Now, that's the man that carries that heart. Well, another person would have said, so they say, I cannot build. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody said, I tried to build. People are here. When I tried to build, he said, I should not build. So Solomon, I encourage you to build it. They say, it's you that build it. But to tell you that his heart is really in it. You read about the Macedonian church. They were begging the apostle to be able to give. So it was like David, begging that. So I want to build. He said, don't build. I want to build. He said, I cannot. You should not build. He said, that sense. Don't worry. I'm going to provide everything. So, once in a while, practice. Don't run away from sacrificial giving. Now, no sane pastor will ask you to give sacrificially every week. Because you also have your own plans and things that will happen around you. I get to the point. But I'm saying once in a while. Stretch yourself. Every year, do this at least 2 or 3 times. every year.
Do something out of the normal. Because you're training yourself. That is how you can get 100 million tomorrow. And the Lord says, that 100 million you got, 30 million is for Sister Margaret in church. 40 million is for that. Then 30 million is for the church. You can give it. And you say, yes, Lord. But if you never practice sacrificial giving, you will bind the devil. You say, who are you in that body? Come out. How dare you speak foul things to the Lord and his anointed? The Lord said, I say 30 million. They say, do 30, we kill you there. Because the Bible tells me, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give an expected. If I part with this one, how will my expected end come?
Are you still here now?
Train yourself. That's what my pastor said, and I said that too. He said once, at least once in every 4 months.
But I thought about it again. Once every 4 months is like 3 times in a year, so.
He said, how did he come up with the formula? Nothing. He was just teaching his sons, and I happened to be one. So not everything. Don't fight about everything. And we that he taught did not argue. We accepted it. And we are happy. Do you understand the point?
Yes.
But then if I can tell you why he had to put it that way, it's one of the ways to flex your muscles in the anointing. Anything God gives you, you need exercise to keep going. You know, your muscle can never grow, become big, if the only thing you do is 5 press-up every day.
Brothers, praise God.
Every day, just there.
Then after, God started for the mirror.
Okay, nothing is coming out. Even if you do it for 30 years, nothing is going to come out.
Then I started in the mirror and begin to... Just like ladies that say they want flat tummy. They say they sit up. You sit up 5 times in the morning. Then you got to start for the mirror. And say, oh, stick up for that mirror. No, let me tell you, it's getting bigger. It's getting bigger.
God is making, it's increasing it. In all its ways. Because after that 5 sit-ups that you did, you went to eat. We all saw the bowl of food. We all saw the ice cream. We didn't talk about it, but we saw it. We saw the shawarma. We saw the suya. We saw the pork meat. Where's that girl that prefers pork meat? You. My God. Patronizer. So I don't like pork meat too. But this one she prepared and gave us. My God. That's a care of the cult. If you eat this pork meat. I never tested the pork meat, anybody. If I miss it, ask for it. Next program that she's going for, ask her that. My dad's in Pastor said, I've testified of it, it's good. But this is not why you should now do 5 sit-ups and go eat pork meat. That's not what you should do. So there is no way if you remain in your comfort zone, there's no way you can become excellent at something. That's what I'm saying. Don't be a footballer. And then they say, how many hours do you train? I train like 15 minutes every morning. I just play the much I can. The much you can cannot make you a powerful footballer. What I tell you, your studies, I'll talk about that at night and maybe tomorrow. It's how many hours do you read? I read the much I can. You can't read the much you can. I'm an excellent student. So how much is the much you can? How many hours? Say, like, he's sleeping. Look at some fasting people do. You fast and you get hungry. You can't eat. Is that one fasting? If you're fasting and you're not hungry, then it's not fasting. It is the hunger that makes it fasting. The fact that you're trying to hold back the hunger. If you're not fasting, it's not hungry. It's not fasting. It's not hungry. If you're not hungry, it's not fasting. Say, but sometimes when the hunger comes, I don't understand anything again. You know, that time you don't understand anything again. That's when you need to study your Bible. Because your understanding natural has ceased. The spiritual has taken over. So just open your Bible and read it. You'll be fine. I've everything used to block. Glory to God. You see, I still understand what I'm teaching now. And you've noticed this morning, or have you? Do everybody. Open your Bible. Let me see. Check your this one. But exercise yourself. Don't just do the much you can. Don't just stay within the limits of your giving. I'll just give, I earn 10,000, I'll just be giving 1,000 or 500. Once in a while, stretch. Stretch to be, in fact, the idea of stretching, once in a while, will even challenge you to have more streams of income. Don't you think so? The idea that you have to give big, that's why most people that go into this ministry of giving, they're always very rich, because there's even pressure on them to make it, not for themselves, but for the many burdens that God is placing in their hearts. So the possible reason why you are comfortable with that small business you are doing, you are just enjoying yourself just in that small business you are doing, is because there is no other burden on you apart from your daily needs. So you just be okay with it. If you carry a burden more than your daily needs, you will not be very okay. Let me close. I'll talk about something. God is committed to the finances of the man that carries this ministry. The reason is very simple. God is a responsible father who will not give you a special assignment without giving you what to do for the assignment. So you see that in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10. Please put it on the screen. He said God gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. So the man that wants to be a sower, God is committed to giving him bread. God is giving him bread. So it will be expected, it will be normal, like normal, for the guy that has that ministry and flows in it to always have more. And God ensures that he replenishes this man so that he will always have more to fulfill his ministry. It's his commitment. So that's why you can have that calling, that ministry upon your life, and you don't have anything. But once you begin to yield to it, let me tell you what it means. When you are yielding to it, you are proving that you are faithful. So God will give you more, not for your enjoyment as it were, but so that you can yield more to that grace. Just like every other gift of the Spirit. God gives you the gift of healing, and you go out and begin to heal people, lay hands on people, every day. The more you are using it, the more you get better with it. The more that is a supply. That's the same thing with this. So that's why eventually people that eventually become, that we eventually know as kingdom financiers are wealthy. Not necessarily because God went to pick wealthy people.
I get what I'm talking about.
But because there's a faithfulness attached to it. Sometimes God picks wealthy people. When I can tell as a Christian, when God begins to give some sort of stupendous wealth, it's because there's a reason for that wealth. I'm telling you plainly, whether you have a nudging or not, when God begins to give some kind of stupendous, look at that, Luke chapter 8 verse 2. Did you see the caliber of women? Luke 8 verse 2, please up. He said, there are 30 women that have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene. Now, we don't know whether this one had money or not. But the Bible said, they drove out 7 devils from her. I don't know what those devils were doing in her. But then see the next. Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward. So this is a prominent woman. So some of you think that Jesus was traveling around with riffraffs. That's not true. It is not riffraffs that do ministry. God picks some noble people to walk with him. Look at that woman. There were many others, but I had to point her out because she was a very prominent woman. And of course she was wealthy before Jesus met her. But the reason, when Jesus now met her, she now discovered the reason for that wealth.
Are you following the point?
She never began to follow Jesus around. There are many rich people, and I'm saying this plainly, if you're in that category, take this. There are many rich people that are not happy. They feel empty. The reason is because that money in your hand is not fulfilling the purpose it was meant to fulfill. That's why you feel empty. That's the simple reason. I've met many of them. One of them came to me and said, I just feel empty. I just feel sad. I'm just depressed. I said,
I'm going to teach you something, but can I say something for you? He said yes. I said, how much is your account? He told me. I said, take a part of it. Go to the, I want to give an example. Go to the motherless babies. Because I know you're not a church person per se. If I say I can give it to church now, you get angry. Go to the motherless babies. Go to the place. Share the money. Don't carry a camera. Just do it and come back. I think it was Samuel Tesla in one of his books that talks about something like this. He said the day his idea of money changed was the day he took money and they went to visit more or less one place. They went to buy wheelchairs, yes, for people that were deformed. These children, many of them deformed, they have wheelchairs. So they bought, and the guy that made him buy it said, I want you to follow me, let's go and give it to them. So they went there and they were giving the children the wheelchair to the children. They were so happy. He said one of them held his leg and he turned and looked at him. He said, what is it? He said, nothing. I just want to forever remember the face of the man that made it possible for me to walk around, move around. He said, he broke down. He said, his money began to make meaning to him. So why many people are depressed? I told the man, I said, the guys, just go and share money and come back. I said, don't carry camera. Don't share it. Or once you carry camera, you derive your fulfillment from the presence of men when you post it. So he just did all of that and said, those kids were so happy. I said, how do you feel? I said, I feel so good. I said, that's the purpose of money. It's not only that. I just gave you an example. Because some of you think money will solve your needs. When you finally have money, you find out that there's still an emptiness that comes with it. Until it begins to do. So this woman not possibly, had money. Herod was already in power before Jesus came. But when she met Jesus, Jesus gave her money direction. Gave her money purpose. And she began to travel around with Jesus. And strength. Supply. Are you following me? God is committed to you when you do his thing. And I tell you sincerely, increase has come. Because God will not ask you to bring this teaching if you just want to change someone's life. As many of you that will begin to yield to this, increase has come. Increase has come. Because many of us, we have to excel in this year. Excel in it. Excel in it. But you hear me say, giving it's not only for the rich. It's not even for the rich. It is for the one that God has graced with it. That's the truth. It's for the one God has graced with it. So some of you are in two categories. Some of you are in some categories, are just in one. Some of you are in that part where God just points out people's needs to you. Supernatural, and you just get to know it. And he puts the burden on you. But some of you are in the other category where when there's a project going on, God shares the burden of that project. One of the ways you always know people that are in this category I mentioned now is that they always exceed what is expected of the project. Others will say, I'm giving 5 million. They want to go further. The thing is on them, but people are wondering, why are you doing all of this? Give your money to everybody. To the church. It's on them. And then there's the carers of the called. People who just carry that burden and say, won't this matter be fine? Why is pastor? Why does our pastor not have a car? I have a car, I'm just telling you. You know what I mean? So I'm giving an example for you and say this man wanted to buy him a car. I have a car. And by the way, the first car I drove, this church bought it for me. Are you aware? Maybe you don't know, the first car I drove, Camry 2.4. This church bought it. Say amen. So I have a car. That's what I'm driving now. I've had other cars. I get the point. And for every time I've had to drive a car, I just conceive the need in my heart for every time God puts it in somebody's heart to do it. Not to get the full money. Sometimes, some of the cars I drive, somebody brings 70%. They don't know. They don't know I'm planning to do it. And I won't talk about it. I'm just trying to tell you, God cares for the call. And he cares for the call through people. And as I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to lead you to pray, even after now. Stand in faith
against the devil in the area of your finances. I don't know why God is bringing that back to me. Especially when your money is now carries more weight. Satan will not want you to have it. Stand in faith. If you're doing a business, take it to prayer. Stand in faith. Because you know that stuff has eternal relevance. So let me close by just saying one thing. Do you know that money, if you have money, you don't have money, it ends on earth here. Are you aware? Do you know that whatever money can buy can only be used on earth here? Only on earth here. Whatever money can buy can only be used here. Even if you use money to buy certificates or certificate, it can only end here. Build the finest houses, it will end here. But there is something you can do with your money that will not end here. Let me show you. 1 Timothy 6:17. Let's see NLT. And that's our closing for today. Have you been blessed? How many of you are so sure that abundance is coming your way this year? But that's why God is bringing this teaching. Who sowed that seed as it directs, and we're going to have great harvest. He said, charge them. Give me an NLT. New Living Translation, quickly. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Now, verse 18. Tell them to use their money to do good. Are you following this now? To use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Always being ready to share with others. Now, verse 19. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future that they may experience through life. And so, if you use your money for ministry, you know at the judgment of Christ, you'll be rewarded for ministry. So, you'll not be rewarded for your money, but you'll be rewarded for that which you have used your money to do. So, money can have eternal relevance if it is for the right purpose. Without using your money for ministry, everything money can achieve ends here. So use it for ministry, you stand before Jesus, and God will reward you for giving to that crusade, for giving to this, for giving to this. So money that is meant to end here can follow, as in the result of it, can follow its eternity. I stay here. Can follow its eternity. So don't just use your money to do what ends here. You know, apart from following to eternity, the effect of your money can keep resistance even after you are gone. And how you can understand is by what you do for people. Yes. The little ones that you are training in school now are helping go through school. Even after you die, we'll forever talk about the man that saw them through school. Are you following the point? Forever. And the thing about God is that God does not forget. He doesn't forget. So yield to this ministry. Be a seed sower. Always remember, God gives seed to the sower. And He's giving you seed this year. You didn't hear that. I said He's giving you seed this year. So I'll have more than enough. Yes, plenty of it. We're closing already. So I will have more than enough. Say, God is providing seed for me. Shout it like you know it. Say, this season I will sow as God directs me. And I will have great harvest. Say, I have more than enough. Say, increase has come. To my work, to my business, to the ideas in my mind, the ideas in my heart, increase has come to them. And God is causing me to excel in every direction. Say, Satan, take your hands off my finances. Say, ministering spirits, go forth and cause the supply to come in. Say, I'm increased in all my ways. There is no lack. I enjoy abundance. Glory to God. Say, I will sow. This year is for sowing. It's for sowing. It's for sowing. It's for sowing. Are you blessed? Listen, let's give him praise in this place. All over this place. Lift your hands and bless him.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Elohim and Adonai.
Come on.
It's the same.
Come on.
By the power of your name.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Elohim and Adonai.
I will praise. Let's do it like three times. I want to hear your voice singing through. Say, El Shaddai, sing.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai.
Elohim.
Elohim and Adonai.
Yesh to
Ej. Yesh to Ej, you're still the same.
By the power. Something this service. So God is preparing us for something big. This will be a year of sowing. We'll sow God's word. We'll sow finances. And tonight I'll begin to talk about other areas. Things like lifestyle. This night and tomorrow I'll begin to prepare you for a great ministry year. I get the point. So you see the seeds you have to sow for massive increase and growth in ministry. Because I just told you from the first day, everything operates by this principle of speech. We've talked about finances now. We've talked about faith and the rest of them. So as you begin to see how your ministry will come in, fall into this. You see the seeds that people have sown, that they are reaping, that is giving them massive results in their spiritual life and their spiritual journey. And even other areas of your life. Maybe tomorrow morning I will talk about other areas of life. How many of you know that diligence is the seed you can sow into your future? And you sow it in the future, you begin to reap it. When we were younger, I used to make this statement a lot. Some of you that have been with me for long. I used to say, you know, you can tell the soup someone is going to cook by the ingredients the person has bought. And that's just the principle of seed and harvest. That you cannot possibly go and buy egusi and pepper and ugu and stuff from the market. And they say, what do you want to cook? You say, I want to cook rice. Or maybe I want to cook beans. And yam. They say, what's the egusi for? You say, ignore the egusi. If you bought egusi, Whatever you have to do has to look like egusi. Either it's egusi soup or egusi stew or... It can't possibly be beans. I mean, is there egusi beans? Is there something like that? Huh? For real? I've seen egusi soup. I've seen egusi stew. I've not seen egusi beans. But that could be, but I'm just saying. Because I've seen granola. That first I saw granola soup. That was that I gave up. I said, I wonder if I'm going to see biscuit soup. Or bread soup. And some people here like it. You see, the voice is not loud. It's not a generally accepted food. I'm just saying. So I'm just saying, there are things you can see that you've bought. You can tell what they're going to make. And that's the whole idea around seed and harvest. If we see you carrying maize seed and we see you enter the farm and then you plant it and you're watching it, you can almost predict that in 3 months time you'll be eating maize. That's the same principle. But if you're sowing the word of God, you will have harvest of it. The same way we have other things. Tonight we're going to begin to look at that. Well, have you been blessed? Have you been blessed, blessed, blessed? Glory to God. Give God praise for a great meeting. We've enjoyed utterance in the Holy Ghost. Mighty utterance in the Holy Ghost. For like 3 days now, it's been back to back. Back to back. Back to back. Back to back. These are trainings for our future. Trainings that will shape us. One of you discovered a new thing to go and work on in your life in this meeting from this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Are you blessed? Have your seat, have your services. Let's have a very brief meeting, like I told you earlier. You ready for it, Abby? It's going to be very brief. Tomorrow we'll complete. I'll just introduce it today. And of course, it's basically around this year. This is a great year. This word? Talk to me. This is word now. What's happening to us this year? Shout it. So if you are not
For more information, inquiry or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.